much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, brothers and sisters, good morning.
Whoa, Dre, you seem unusually chipper for a Monday. What's wrong?
Took my family to church. Wasn't looking forward to it, but I felt great after.
Like a massage from a man. Strong hands.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
This is how we do.
This is how I do.
Do you know why the women dislike you so much?
Not so much.
I just feel low. Lost, confused, distracted, dreary, disturbed. I guess that's it.
Right, neither of you has a job.
You cannot have a job and still hate Mondays.
Like Garfield.
Like Garfield, Jimmy. Garfield.
And now.
Okay, so just to clarify, what'd you say? You said I pronounced clitoris wrong?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 23rd of November. What's crackling, you guys?
You know.
Things.
What's happening?
Stuff.
What's going on? What's the latest?
Stuff with the deal.
I've talked to you guys since Friday at 10. What have I missed? What's been happening?
I got nothing.
Yeah, man, really? A whole weekend goes by? Nothing, Allie?
Yeah.
There wasn't anything Star Wars related in your life this whole weekend?
No.
Wait, I bought a toy. Hold on.
Hold on. Please hold.
What kind of toy?
All right, he's back.
How
worst
sweet
toy
is that?
Ever.
Kind of whisper creature is that? That's
dude, what you saw.
It's a little keychain that costs like a dollar.
Uh huh.
Don't be afraid. I feel it too.
And who is that?
I don't know.
One of the bad guys.
Yeah.
Oh, from the new Star Wars movie?
Yes, and it's so poorly made that you really can't sort of tell who it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's supposed to be Kylo Ren, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe.
So do you think it is, it's a bootleg item? Do you think they're already making bootleg items from the new? Or is it legit?
No, it's legit. And crap.
Ooh. That's not what you want. You're going to start off with bad toys.
Oh, this is a great toy because it's so bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that's what I got.
All right.
Boom.
You got a bigger weekend than the girl, it sounds like.
Who wins?
All right, here's a story to get us started. There is a big controversy on the Mr. Ugly pageant in Zimbabwe. I'm sure you've been following this, but just for the benefit of the few listeners who might not have heard about it.
The
Mr. Ugly, yeah.
Okay.
Has been going on for 4 years now, and there was a real upset because the guy who had won the last 3 years, William Mesvino, was very much the favorite. And he was upset. The judges awarded Mr. Ugly this year to a man named Meissen Saray. He's 42 years old. And the reason there is controversy about the decision is that it is widely believed by many in the crowd that his ugliness comes about because he has so many teeth missing. And
is that cheating?
Well, that's what the controversy is. That's why they're kind of going back and looking over the rules. But you know, there are those who argue. You know, the purists argue that it's just whatever God gave you. It's the purists want it to just be you're just standing there like a regular dude, and my God, look how ugly you are, without any kind of enhancements or disabilities or anything like that. They believe that the focus should be on natural ugliness. So they're saying. You take you lose teeth, that's giving you an unfair advantage. So the other guy shouldn't have to lose teeth in order to keep up with your ugliness.
Sure.
So there was literally.
But are the lost teeth, is that just in the course of human nature?
Yes,
where it
is it natural or did he yank them?
Right,
natural.
Did he yank them?
No, that's natural.
Oh, well, then whatever.
Yeah, it's natural. He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't do it to win this competition or anything like this.
All right.
Mesvino, who had been, as I say, the Mr. Ugly reigning champion, it was revealed that his supporters mobbed the judges upon hearing their decision, claiming that Saray was too handsome to win and his ugliness was not natural because it was based on missing teeth. Mesvino gestured at his rival, claiming, I am naturally ugly. He is not. He is ugly only when he opens his mouth. Do we have to lose our teeth to win? This is cheating, shouted another contestant, Patrick Mupiki. No one was injured in the scuffle, but there was a great deal of pushing and shoving as the results were announced, and insults were hurled at the judges.
Oh, I hate to see Mr. Ugly going to hell.
Yeah.
You know? I know. Remember when we were kids and Mr. Ugly was just so pure, you could just look at it and you go, that's what's great about the world right there is Mr. Ugly. Soray dismissed the critics as just sore losers as he pocketed the $500 US prize. So he's basically, you know, giving the finger to his haters, you know. This guy should be a raider. I mean, he's got the attitude, right? They should just accept that I am uglier than them, he said. And here's my favorite line in the whole piece. Adding that he makes his living showcasing his ugliness to local school children in his neighborhood on the outskirts of the Zimbabwe capital, Harare. How is that your job? Where you go into schools?
He makes his living?
Yes. You go into schools.
What kind of show and tell is this?
I love it.
I know. Well, class, we've got something very fun for you today. We're going to bring in the ugliest man in the world.
Yay!
And then, ooh, gross.
And then what does he do? Does he just go in there and just stay, mug in front of the classroom until he gets paid? I mean, what does he do?
It's the weirdest story ever.
He walks up and down the aisles with the desks with the kids.
Isn't it so strange? The pageant involves three rounds of modeling with individual and group struts down a catwalk. Saray, the winner, made a tremendous effort to enhance his ugliness by pulling facial stunts, said one of the judges, Abigail Maturinyaka.
Facial stunts?
Mazvinu thought he was so ugly that he didn't need to try hard, and that cost him the crown. So there you go. Mm. All I'm saying is, like Rhonda and Holly, this just sets the table
rematch.
For the rematch.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So what does the former champ, what's he going to do to disfigure his face between now and next year's competition so that he makes sure to win this thing again?
I love everything about this story.
I just feel like you're setting yourself up for cheating is what I feel like. You know, that's what I'm worried about now that it's getting ugly. Now that it's just not all fun and games anymore. But anyway.
Sounds like it's not been fun and games for a while. Sounds like there's a
riot
lot
at the ugliest man competition.
Wow.
Can we go on? Sports is hard, man.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Well, the suspense is almost intriguing me. Is this interesting? You're making this sound interesting.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will be on the program today.
Talking about the Cardinals.
No, we might not get to that game. We might not mention that.
Also on the program today, we have tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. This time it is night number one.
What? Thanks to everybody, by the way, who bought tickets on Friday. It's always a testament to the quality of the music that the artists that we love make. And we appreciate very much you buying it, supporting lots of great local charities. And if you didn't win, I know a lot of people tried and couldn't get in, but if you didn't win, we are going to be giving away tickets every day between now and then, so definitely keep trying.
Check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do on Mondays. We're going to announce Miss Double December in about a half hour. We have our top eight.
Okay.
We have our top eight that we're going to announce in about a half hour. That's coming up. And we also have Caitlin Nakin. She is on the program. You might know her as Enid from The Walking Dead.
She's a dick. Right?
Well, so far, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll talk all things Walking Dead, and it was a big episode last night. We'll talk about that coming up later this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
That is not your leather jacket.
What?
Yeah, he looks really dapper. What's happening? What
the hell's going on? It's November. You should still be in full leather jacket mode.
Job interview.
Oh. Ouch.
Yeah.
You too, huh? I'm
trying to get a job in radio.
Good luck with
that. My advice don't put this show in your resume.
Well, I'm not an idiot.
Okay. All right, just make sure. It's 5:53 Monday morning, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat on an all-new week of Kevin and Bean. What's going on?
Since it is a Monday morning, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And as expected, the latest installment of The Hunger Games, the final in that four-film trilogy. It's true. It was a four-film trilogy, more or less.
Yeah.
Busted up the last one into two parts. Mockingjay Part 2 pulled in $101 million. It's pretty strong.
That is pretty strong.
Can you believe people are disappointed? Numbers are less than what they expected.
It's the lowest of all of the movies, right?
Yeah.
For opening weekend?
So $101 million is a disappointment.
Mm-hmm. $130 million was expected.
Okay.
So they only came up with $101 million, so people somewhere are hanging their heads. which I say, then you're in a crazy business. Because that would seem to be good for everyone else on the planet.
Lower your expectations.
That's right.
You'll always be happy.
Spectre, number two at the box office with $14.6 million. The Peanuts movie.
How was it, Ralph?
Still third. I have not seen the Peanuts movie, Kevin. $12.8 million. Dollars. Right, well, I'll have you know that over the weekend, my daughter says she wanted to go see the Peanuts movie.
Uh-huh.
Did you crush her dreams, or did you say okay?
So my wife took her.
Okay.
Yeah. Well played. And so they got back yesterday afternoon, and little Olivia looked up at me with those big, beautiful eyes and said, "That movie was boring." And I was like, "Yes!" I was pumping my fist like Drew Doughty scoring a Stanley Cup-winning goal, skating backwards. It's like, Snoopy just flew the stupid doghouse forever. It just wouldn't end. And I said, "I'm going to buy you a car." And I took her out, and we went to a dealership, and I bought her a car. Huh. My wife's like, "It really was boring." I was like, "Yes! My family is intact. My blood runs through her veins."
When they left to go to the movie, were you afraid, like, I may have lost them forever now?
No, look, I said, if she likes it, she likes it. I'm not going to, you know.
Right, but if she comes back and becomes a lifelong Peanuts fan, then now she's just driving a wedge between a relationship between you two.
Well, I would forever be suspect about her taste in entertainment. But the fact she came back and said, "That was boring." And this is my kid who's never said anything's boring in her entire life. She loves, after every film I've taken to her, she's loved. She loved her TV shows that she watches. She's always enthralled. She's like, "That was boring."
She had to have heard that somewhere before she went, though.
Why would I even talk about the Peanuts movie?
I'm just saying.
Can't go home and talk about the Peanuts?
No,
Kevin.
You were trying to pretend it didn't exist.
No, but I'm saying if she says she wants to go, I'm just saying, was there any conversation?
She wanted to go because of the posters and the billboards.
But you didn't say, you take her, huh?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. All right.
No, my wife said, "Look, I know you watch football, so I'll take the kid to see the Peanuts movie." I was like, "Oh, I appreciate that." Boring.
USA!
Yep.
USA! USA!
The little victories, people. The little victories in life.
Well, when Allie and I go together to go see it, we'll tell you a different story.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Allie, okay? That'll be fun.
Allie just went white.
I thought Allie was with me on being excited about the Peanuts.
Yeah,
the going with you part that blanched.
Oh, I see. Allie wants to go see it separately.
You just always want to play the popcorn game. I'm like, ooh. Yeah. What?
It works about 1 out of every 10 times, so I just keep trying.
Sorry.
The Night Before, in its debut, made $10 million. Then Secret in Their Eyes was 5th. Love the Coopers, The Martian, Spotlight, The 33, and Bridge of Spies, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Boy, I bet Olivia Munn's happy that the Green Bay Packers won yesterday. There had been hints from a guy named Rob Domofsky from ESPN that something is going on with the Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and he heard it taking place in his personal life.
Uh-oh.
Now, Olivia and Rodgers have been dating since June of 2014. So Olivia Munn went on the offensive, reporting, saying on Twitter that the reporter was playing it fast and loose with journalism, then insinuated that he must be having personal problems at home. Boom! 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 Mom drops the mic.
You don't want to feel the hate of an NFL crowd.
Especially one as strong as the Packers. Yep. That's a lot of hate.
Yeah. So people are speculating that Aaron's troubles on the field were related to something off the field, but he won yesterday, so everybody's happy again. Until next week. And I guess it was a good idea for ABC to put Donald Trump on 2020 with Barbara Walters. Big numbers, as you can imagine, for that interview. In fact, that show lifted up all of ABC's lineup for Friday night. Shark Tank had a season high, as well as the other shows on that evening. And it was the second highest numbers for 2020 this fall, the first being Leah Remini's interview regarding Scientology with her interview. So, good stuff. And you guys were talking Star Wars. Star Wars could be the biggest selling movie of the franchise, if not of all time.
Don't fight it.
If you look at the numbers and Kevin's toy, Fandango currently reporting more than $50 million of advanced sales for the first weekend have already been taken in.
Don't be afraid. I feel it too.
number of cinemas.
I wish I could turn it up, Ralph, but
no,
I can't.
It's great. It's very entertaining for everyone.
So low volume. I'm right next to it. I can't hear it.
Have announced they will stay open around the clock during the movie's first week.
I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
A lot of people have been saying about the film.
I'm immune to the light.
Yeah. I don't think that's helping.
He's immune to the light.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for details about secret plot points from the film, you won't get them from Mark Hamill. He's not saying anything. He is going to be quiet. He is keeping to himself. He's mum's the word. He's not going to spill the beans.
All right.
You know why?
No.
He will be paid a certain amount of money if certain plot points in the film remain secret until the day it's released, but will not get that cash if the information is leaked beforehand.
Huh.
He's got an incentive deal.
Wow.
Where plot points will be secretive until opening day for him to get a bonus payout.
What if he didn't leak it, but it gets out and then he doesn't get his money? Interesting.
Hamill says he's well-versed in this world because it was up to him to keep the secret of Darth Vader being his dad. Back in the day, he had to keep
Darth Vader was his dad.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert!
Had
Kevin,
to keep that
sorry.
Secret for 18 months before that release of that film. He said he didn't tell the truth to his wife even back then, nor did he mention it to Harrison Ford, who apparently was not aware of the secret plot.
Was this in the news?
Taint Wars,
Star Wars.
By the way, is it really a secret?
What?
I mean, don't we all kind of know what the secret is now at this point? And if it is what everyone seems to think it is, it's the worst kept secret in movie history. They've done everything to point us in that direction. Maybe they're setting us up for a counter twist. But if it is what everyone is speculating that it is, then Mark Hamill's not getting any money. That's all I'm saying. Right?
I don't know what everybody thinks it is.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Hold up your toy. Play us a little something.
Don't fight it.
Good.
You know you can.
Wait, let me turn it up.
Good. Very terrifying, that Kylo Ren doll you have there. Sounds like the Taken doll. Sounds like Liam Neeson.
I have a very specific
set of skills. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Miley Cyrus is 23 years old today.
Yes. Yeah. I don't. Absolutely.
Let's just...
The bell speaks for all of us. Just want to remind you.
No!
She couldn't be prettier. Wrong.
Wow.
Look at that face. Look at
that
face. She has a pretty face, but that's not the whole package. I'm going to...
Oh.
Nope.
Revoked. Revoked.
It's going to be a long day.
Snooki. Snooki's birthday. Remember Snooki?
Just barely.
Snooki!
I'm trying not to.
Oh, Snooks. Oh, the Snooker. She's 28. She's only 28. Woof. Chris Hardwick. Our buddy Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick.
Comedian, Nerdist, Talking Dead host, walking franchise.
Yeah.
44 years old today, and TV and radio host Steve Harvey celebrates his 59th birthday. And now you know the rest of the story.
That's Paul Harvey. Steve Harvey. He's the black guy.
Oh. Sit down.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
At Coldplay show Friday night, or excuse me, Saturday night, that was streamed through Tidal.com, I am heard was outstanding. By the way, they did three songs from the new record and a lot of songs from previous records. And man, that Coldplay's a fun band to see live.
Yes, they
really enjoy themselves on stage.
There are very few bands that actually sound way better than the CD, and they're one of them.
Yeah,
actually bring it to life.
Always look like they're having such fun, which is nice. You don't see that. It doesn't look like a job for Coldplay, which is kind of cool. All right, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us. It's Monday. That means Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network as well later on. First, though, Miss Double December 2016. The last couple of weeks, we have been urging the ladies to send in their information, photos, and fill out the questionnaire. And we are ready to announce. It looks like this year it's going to be a top eight contestants all vying to be Miss Double December 2016. And the live show is going to be at the Slide Bar in Fullerton, as we do. It's going to be on December 4th, which is just coming up, by the way, in a couple of Fridays from now.
Yes, it is.
right around the corner. We'll be crowning our new winner, and that person joins the Kevin and Bean Show for a year and gets to go to Acoustic Christmas this year and the Weenie Roast next year and April Foolishness and singles parties and breakfast with and the whole deal. So it's very, very exciting. I'm looking forward to meeting the girls. Kevin, how's the field this year?
The field is great, and we're going to announce the top eight right now, and then you can vote. Ladies and gentlemen, the best time of the year.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard. Yay!
The kids are big favorite. They love this so much.
It's their favorite live show of
really
the whole
is.
Year. They're always right down front.
Very excited.
All right, let's just go back and forth as we announce the contestants. First up is Cherie from Chino. She is a chicken rancer, so I'm already very inclined to like her very much.
Wait, she for real?
Yes, she is a chicken rancher. When we do have her in next week, I am looking forward to finding out how that goes for her as a career. She is energetic, outgoing. She's a swinger. She is bisexual. Some days she is intelligent. She is nerdy, and she is sarcastic. She sounds fantastic. So Cherie from Chino, contestant number one.
Contestant number two is Stella from Bellflower. She's an industrial designer, and when asked why she wants to be Miss Double December, she says she should be Miss Double December. Let's see. I want to save the world, and perhaps this will help me achieve that goal.
Oh, Stella.
Right?
I think so.
I think it will as well.
Contestant number three for Miss Double December 2016 is Alyssa from Fullerton. Alyssa is a natural contender for Miss Double D, she says, because she's got a nice set of double Ds. She's a 90s rock aficionado who would love to represent K-Rock Southern California and meet the men. That's us, Kevin and Ben, it says here.
She's got my vote.
Who were the soundtrack to my morning commute to school in the family SUV. Grades pre-K to senior year. She listened to Kevin and Ben.
Yes, Ben does good work.
Thank you. So, Alyssa from Fullerton, congratulations. You are in the competition toward being America's next top model.
Nope.
Is that what we're doing?
Nope. It's Double December.
Oh, that's right.
Contestant number three is Megan from Tustin. She is a junior tennis coordinator.
I think we're up to number four, by the way.
Number four is Megan.
All right.
From Tustin. She's a junior tennis coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, does that mean she teaches kids to play tennis?
If you had to guess, I don't know what that means.
Sure.
Because she's a coordinator. It doesn't say coach.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Contestant number five in the Miss Double December 2016 pageant. And by the way, the posts are up. You can see all of these pictures, read the questionnaires, and start voting at krock.com right now or kevinbean.com. It is Shauna from Covina. Shauna from Covina. One of the questions asks, if you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be? And she went with Strawberry Bubblegum. Which I thought is kind of an unusual name for a porn star. She describes herself as carefree, fun, silly, sexy, and cute. She looks like all those things. Congratulations, Shauna. You're up.
Contestant number 14 is Mallory.
I think we're on six.
Six is Mallory from Riverside. She is a financial counselor.
Oh.
Does that make her too smart for
us? Yeah, I think math is involved.
I'm looking at these photos, and I want her to audit me.
See, this is.
I mean,
this is.
What?
We haven't even started.
We're just announcing. But we're just.
All right. So that's Mallory from Riverside. Up next, contestant number seven in the Miss Double D pageant is Rosa. She is a dancer and a bartender, by the way. She is from Burbank, and she says she should be the next Miss Double December because her twins are new and they deserve a crown after all the pain they went through. I don't want to see how the sausage is made. I don't need to know the details of the procedure, right?
Right.
She is active, driven, loyal, blunt, and caring. Sounds like my kind of woman. Congratulations, Rosa from Burbank. You are in the running.
You're going to say next top model, aren't you?
It's hard to not.
The next contestant is Carrie from North Hollywood. She is an actress server. She says she's the perfect woman to be the face of K-Rock. She's an intelligent college graduate, published model, and one hell of an entertainer, a jack of all trades.
Okay. She's lovely, by the way. All right, so there you go. So you got all of the ladies, the top eight finalists, and now it is up to you. You'll get a chance to learn more about the contestants in the next couple of weeks as we start bringing them in for the interviews and the talent competition and prepare for the big pageant. But you can go to KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com and cast your vote who you would like to see represent the Kevin and Bean Show for the following year. And, of course, don't forget to join us live in person if you can at the Slide Bar in Fullerton on December the 4th. And if you can't, we will be web streaming again that day through KROQ.com. Beer Mug Red Carpet Interviews with the Stars of the Night Before coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's Monday. That means we look at our friend Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, what's going on, man?
Everything's good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Doing fine. Do you watch much of that American Music Awards last night? It is usually a terrible show, and last night was no exception. I was just wondering if you saw any of it.
I was shooting our game show yesterday, so I was deep into Crenshaw late at night.
I can't believe how many TV shows you have. Well, I wanted to talk about Bieber because they saved him for the very end of the show. He was the big headliner. You know, he came out and did a medley of three big songs from his record.
I knew that.
And it was just so boring, I thought.
Did he cry like last time? Did he cry?
He didn't cry, but here was the controversy, Kevin, that people were suggesting. He had this giant rainstorm effect on stage, so he was singing and playing in the rain, right, and people were making fun of him as if the reason he had brought on the rain is that he could cry and get away with it on stage and no one would know it.
Which I thought was funny. Diversionary.
Exactly. I just thought he was super boring, but I wanted to ask you about it, Harvey, because I know Selena was there last night, and you've been posting some good stuff lately about how it looks like they're kind of circling each other once again.
I don't think they're kind of circling each other. I think that, you know, when you have a court case, you never have rarely have a smoking gun, but there's always circumstantial evidence that can be compelling, right?
Right.
So let's make this a small claims court case. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez, okay? So people are minding their own business at the Montage Bar in Beverly Hills, and all of a sudden they hear piano, and then they hear somebody singing, and they look up, and it's Justin Bieber at the piano singing My Girl to Selena Gomez, who was sitting right there.
What?
That's a gesture.
That's a big gesture.
When's the last time they were even seen together?
I haven't. Honestly, months and months and months. I don't know how many, but it's got to be 6 or 7 months at least. And then they're kind of strolling the streets of Beverly Hills arm in arm a couple hours after that. So I would say that at the very least there's a preponderance of evidence there, if not clear and convincing evidence.
Spoken like a true attorney, Herbie. You know, I was just so happy when Selena escaped from his orbit because he's a douchebag. But if he really has cleaned his act up and he's going to stay out of trouble, who knows? Maybe they've got some. Maybe it'll work out this time.
I mean, look, he's a talented guy. He's young. What were you like when you were 21?
Yeah, I don't want to answer
right,
that
exactly. Hard. by the way, considering how much we wrote him off as being over,
right?
He came back in a huge way. He sold almost 700,000 copies of this new record this week. He obliterated One Direction on the charts.
Obliterated One Direction, and everybody thought One Direction was going to win that. And you know, you are so right that there was a point, what, like 9-10 months ago, where everybody said it's over.
And he
figured it out. He came back, changed up his music, and he's number one. And that's a big deal.
Yep. All right, let's talk some more young love here as we go into the holidays. It didn't look like that breakup between the Jenner girl and Tyga stuck, right?
The Jenner girl. I love that.
Whichever one it is, Harvey.
That is great. that Kylie Jenner girl, she's 18, so it's kind of, you know, in her playbook that you break up with somebody and then you get back with them the next day. So they broke up on Thursday. On Friday, they still seem broken up. On Saturday, it looked like they were back together. And yesterday, for sure, they were back together because they went to the AMAs and they went to Justin Bieber's after party. And afterwards, he looked kind of like a Sherpa, kind of leading her through the paparazzi getting into the van.
She wasn't on his back.
I mean, I guess lots of teenage relationships are on again, off again. You break up on Tuesday, you get back together on Thursday, you break up on Saturday, get back together on Monday. I mean, that's just how it works. I guess this just is so much more amplified because every bit of that is on social media. So we all kind of pay attention, but it's pretty normal, right?
It's pretty normal, and especially, you know, it's true with teenagers, but when one is 18 and the other is 25, the other one can show them the way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. One more story with our friend Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, and that is this one is a little bit troubling. This is the Gigi Hadid, the model. What's going on with her phone?
Yeah, so she says that some hackers have been trying to blackmail her, and they have contacted her and said, we somehow got into your phone in the iCloud, and we have pictures, and we have texts, and we want money from you. Now, we don't know what the heck they got or didn't get, but we do know that she decided she was going to go to authorities, and, you know, rather than just kind of rolling over here, she has gone to authorities. The FBI is looking into this, and they are trying to figure it out. But it's just it's kind of another one of these troubling things where, you know, privacy is becoming kind of a fleeting memory when people can pretty much get into everything now, and it just seems like they can.
Do you ever worry about that, Harvey, in your business? You obviously have a lot of stuff that you don't publish, a lot of confidential sources and whatnot. Or is that something you spend some time being concerned about?
I mean, look, look at what happened at Sony. I mean, you know, look, if you don't think Hollywood is worried about this, it's crazy. Of course they are. Everybody is. And it's not just Hollywood. It's everybody. It's, you know, it's funny. I talked to somebody who I know who was, you know, in working in Washington, D.C. on this whole presidential privacy initiative that's been going on for a couple of years. And one of the sentiments is that in 15 years, there's really not going to be such a thing as privacy. And all of these breaches that are such a big deal now, you know, it's going to almost be like a ho-hum. It's kind of just another thing because, you know, everybody's getting into everybody's business this way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a scary, sad thought, but you know, it seems like the hackers are ahead of the people who are trying to prevent it.
Yep, you're absolutely right. It's a terrifying future to think about. Well, keep
I
up
have
with
a
all
bunch
these
of nudes on my phone, and I just keep waiting for somebody to hack it.
Yeah, we're good.
But nobody wants them.
Come on, people. Keep up with all these stories at TMZ.com. Don't miss TMZ Sports now at a new time and channel on Fox Sports 1 at midnight. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Old School throughout the day on Channel 11 as well. And coming soon, the TMZ Game Show. Can't wait. Harvey, thank you for the time, sir. We'll do it again next time.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Yes, the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 shows coming up at the Forum on December 12th and 13th are sold out, but you can still be there. We will be giving away tickets this morning on the Kevin Abin Show, and in fact, all throughout the day on K-Rock. Keep listening for your chance to win, and go to K-Rock.com for all the details.
So you're saying that this is not Who's the Dick?
I don't think it is a Who's the Dick, but I'm telling you, it got very close to being a Who's the Dick. So Thursday was Denny's Day, obviously.
Sure. Right? Don't be ridiculous.
Because the world collapses if I don't go to Denny's on Thursdays. And I'm sitting at the counter like I do, like a 30s hobo, and there's a guy who's sitting two seats away from me at the Denny's, and he's having his breakfast, I'm having my breakfast, and he gets a phone call.
Okay.
I don't know what your policy is when you get a phone call in a restaurant, Kevin.
Stand up and walk outside and talk.
Or if that's or if you need to take the call, you stand up and you walk outside and talk, right?
Yeah.
Or you don't answer it and
right.
Deal with it when you get out. Okay, this guy did answer it and left the conversation on speakerphone for 20 minutes.
Oof.
20 minutes. This wasn't just a, hey, I'm just letting you know I'll be there in 10 minutes. Okay, see you soon. Bye. It wasn't one of those. It wasn't a check-in call. All right?
Okay.
For 20 minutes, he's having an entire conversation about his business. About his business. Yeah. I mean, there's a guy that the dude obviously had some sort of a business relationship with, and they were making some decisions. It was almost like he was involved in a meeting of some sort. And I'm sitting there, and I am, you know, there's one seat between him and me. We're the only two at the counter.
You're the only two at the restaurant, let's be honest.
by the way, I love my Denny's that I go to because I am always the youngest person in there.
Yeah.
Which is just, it makes
by
me
30
feel
years
so youthful when I walk in. I'm the only guy without oxygen.
Yep.
I'm the only guy without a walker.
Mm-hmm.
I have such a step, a zip in my step when I walk in there, just when I see what everybody else looks like. So I'm sitting there, and at first I think, well, you know, cut the guy some slack. And there's a tiny bit of, I know some people disagree with this, but there's a tiny bit of, you know what? I'm not paying $80 for this meal. All right, it's a $6 breakfast, and
that's
I'm at
worth
a Denny's.
Two. Right?
No,
that's what we're saying.
Denny's. But there's a tiny part of me that says, if the guy's on the phone for a minute, it's not that big a deal. Just let it go. And then he stays on the phone.
Yeah. At what point did you start thinking, wait a minute, he's still on that call? Was that
like
two,
five,
three,
probably 4 or 5 minutes
okay.
in? I start to get a little bit irritated by it, because now I'm thinking he's not just trying to take care of business, get out the phone, and considering other people in the restaurant. Now he's actively either being rude on purpose or is so oblivious that he doesn't realize he's in a public place.
Was it soft enough that only he could hear it, but you could hear that it was going on, or could you understand what was being said?
I could hear both sides of the conversation.
Okay, here's my question.
Yes, please weigh in, because I will tell you that I wrestled a little bit with it, because there's a lot of thoughts going through my mind. The first of which is, this guy needs to be schooled, but the second of which is, who am I to school this guy? And the third of which is,
You never ask that question of yourself.
And the third thought is, I don't really want to make a scene here and be that guy, because I want to come back here next Thursday.
So it's just your Denny's. You're worried about your Denny's.
So, Allie, I mean, you're a polite person. You like to think about the other guy. Tell me what you would have thought and what you would have done, more importantly.
I have noticed this more and more, probably in the past year, 2 years. But it tends to be someone older, and they can't hear, and they have no idea that it's not that it's
really?
On speakerphone.
Do you think he didn't know it was loud enough?
It depends, A, on his age, and B, how he was holding the phone. Because if it's up to his ear, I saw it at the airport a ton, and it tended to be older people. And I thought, oh, Nana, she can't
now
hear.
That's
and that just it makes your heart hurt, but then it also makes you laugh. Like, she has no idea we can hear this whole conversation.
That is interesting, Allie, because go to my Twitter right now, at Clyde Tombaugh, and I think Dave retweeted it from Kevin and Bean as well, and you'll actually see a picture of the guy who's sitting, you know, 3 feet away from me. He is older, and he's holding the phone in front of his face, using it like a speakerphone.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's not holding it up to his ear. But, I mean,
is there any possibility it was FaceTime?
No.
Okay.
No, he's not looking at the phone. He's just, looking around the restaurant and just talking to him. Should I have said something, though?
Yeah, this is funny, because normally you're on trial for being a dick.
Right.
In this particular case, he's being a dick, and you don't say anything. How do you do the wrong thing every time?
Wait, are you suggesting that I should have said something to him?
Did you say it was 20 minutes?
20 minutes.
Okay,
talking
so
on a speakerphone in
so
a restaurant.
Maybe
yeah.
not at 5 minutes, maybe not at 7 minutes. Easily from 10 to 20.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay. And here's where I always get in trouble, when it does turn into who's a dick, when I do say something. Like when I mentioned to the guy who was walking down the middle of the road with his headphones on, and I thought maybe he wasn't paying attention, didn't know he might get hit. All of a sudden, I'm the dick.
No, you were the dick on that one.
So what are the words that you use, Kevin, to diffuse this situation and not be a dick?
I walk over and I knock the phone out of his hand.
I'm sure.
To the ground.
No. Well, and you always carry a pellet gun, too. So that's an
option. Just in case. You never know.
You never know what you might do.
I think I would start making snide comments. At least, I think you were being way patient. I think by minute 6 or 7, I would say something like, you know, we can hear you. To try and be funny.
So try to diffuse it in a humorous way.
Yes. But then by the time you get to 10 minutes, I mean, all bets are off. Now I'm throwing food.
Yeah, I wonder, Bean, since you were alone, did that change things? If you were with someone, would you have said something?
See, I don't know. I mean, I was – guys, this was a tortured 20 minutes for me. I was paralyzed with what I should do, because I really did feel like it was completely wrong and inappropriate for him to do that.
It was.
But on the other hand, and I feel like this is a common thing that a lot of people fall into, especially these violent days in which we live – is it worth getting into it with somebody? You don't know this person. You don't know what this person's capable of. You don't know if he's going to throw down. You don't know if there's going to be a scene. I mean, part of it is just, I don't want to get involved. Part of it is that, if I'm being
since
honest.
Since when? You say the wrong thing to people that you don't know, to strangers, every day. This guy's on the phone, on a speakerphone for 20 minutes, and you hold your tongue?
Allie, what would you have said?
You would have said something.
I probably would have said, if I was at the counter, I probably would have said to the server right in front of me, like, hey, do you hear this? And if so, hello, might want to mention it.
It's interesting that both of your approaches are to not talk to the guy, to say something out loud, either to yourself or to someone else, so that he'll overhear it.
Yeah, you don't want to be overly aggressive,
I think.
So Allie's talking to the waiter. I'm talking to the guy, but I'm sort of trying to make it funny.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
you're trying to figure out a way to diffuse the situation without being controversial.
Yes, but at 15 minutes...
That's a long time.
I move over next to him and I start answering. That's what I do. The guy on the other end asks a question, I answer. Hey, I thought we were all involved in this call.
In other words, that's your answer. You joined the meeting?
Yeah. You joined the meeting. He had you in the meeting. You were caught.
I should have thought of that. Darn it.
You do the wrong thing every time. You're a miracle.
Adam writes in about my friend at the Denny's talking on his phone for 20 minutes. My in-laws are nuts and refuse to hold the phone to their head because they fear cancer. Maybe your guy was nuts, too. Maybe that's what it was. Just didn't want to die. Hey, Ralph Garman, welcome to a Monday Kevin Beach Show. What's going on with you, man?
Here's my take. If you're eating at Denny's, you get what you get, man.
That's on you?
You get what you get. You roll
you're
the dice.
You're still in civilization,
you're
though,
lucky
with people
there wasn't
in the
a
world.
Guy being stabbed to death next to your booth and you had to say something. You're lucky you got off easy with a phone conversation. You're at freaking Denny's. Suck it up, Buttercup.
I think
just
I
live. Live your life. Eat your moods over my hammy and get the hell out.
I think you could still afford to be polite to your fellow diner.
Not at those
even
prices.
At but what Ralph is saying is they're not diners.
That's
at Denny's.
Right. You might as well just be in a stall and have someone put a feed bag strapped around
How
your head.
How dare you?
Because it's basically the same. It's just you're just trying not to have an empty stomach at that point. You're filling it up with whatever garbage they put in front of you. You're at Denny's.
I'm deeply offended.
You lose by walking in. That's it.
You're already at the bottom of the food chain. So whatever happens, happens.
You just
keep your head down. Just eat your food and get the hell out. You're at Denny's. It's part of their new campaign, I think.
I like it.
You're at Denny's. Put your head down. Just eat.
Eat the food and get out.
Get out. You're at Denny's. Sorry.
I like the new campaign.
I do, too.
You're strong. At Denny's. Sorry.
If anything happens inside these doors, that's on you.
That's right.
You had the choice to not walk through those doors.
Pays your money. Takes your chances. You're at Denny's. Sorry. It's Monday. That means it's a new batch of movies at the box office at your local Cineplexes over the weekend. And Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 is the big winner with $101 million in its debut.
I think that's debut.
What?
Yeah.
Kevin, you see it?
I did, yes, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I really thought it was a great finale.
Did she mock the hell out of that Jay? Did she? You're a stupid Jay. I hate you.
That's not that kind of mocking.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I thought it was really well done. Three was sort of disappointing because it was just a setup for
right.
this one. But
mm-hmm.
this one's
like, Jay, you're bad.
Nope.
Nobody likes you.
That's not the kind of mocking
that it is. Look at the clothes you're wearing.
That it is.
You look like you eat at Denny's. They said to Jay.
Is that the ultimate
himself.
Insult?
That's right. Spectre. $14.6 million made it number two. The Peanuts movie was third. The Night Before debuted with $10 million at the box office. Secret in Their Eyes was fifth. Then Love the Coopers, The Martian, Spotlight, The 33, and Bridge O' Spies rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, congratulations to my bestest buddy Kevin Smith and the rest of the Yoga Hosers family. It's finally been announced. As of last night, that Yoga Hosers, the film that I got a chance to participate in with Kevin and the rest of the gang, will premiere at the Sundance Film Festival in January.
All right.
Festival takes place the 21st through the 31st at Park City, Utah, of course.
I feel like that would be difficult to get in.
It is difficult to
Sundance?
Get in.
Oh, Sundance? Yeah.
Very difficult to get in. Kevin has a little bit of a relationship with Sundance, of course, having debuted Clerks there. 22 years ago, and he was also previously at Sundance with Red State as well, and this brand new film starring myself and Johnny Depp and Johnny's daughter Lily Rose Depp and Kevin's daughter Harley, as well as a cast of very funny, talented people, will be debuting in part of their 9-film Midnight section lineup, which also include Rob Zombie's new film 31. So looking forward to getting
will you go to Sundance, Ralph?
Oh yeah, I'm going.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a good time. So congratulations to all those gang.
Do you want us to come with you?
Nope, I'm good.
You want
I'm
us
all,
to meet you?
I'm all full up.
You want us to meet you
it's
there?
Very difficult to
Should we meet you at the hotel? Or
you know, there's no. We're the not, theater? Out of rooms.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, they're all booked up.
But you have a room.
Yeah. In music news, Foo Fighters had a big countdown clock on their website. Nobody knew what it was for. What's it for? I don't know. What's it for? Whispering. No one knew. Now we know. Foo Fighters dropped an EP called Saint Cecilia over the weekend, and it was just they're just the most creative people ever. They just keep pumping out great stuff.
Yeah.
TV shows and movies and tours and legs.
Legs? Huh. Is that a broken leg?
Thrones.
Okay.
It's some great new music from Foo Fighters. We got a little taste for you. You want to hear a little something from the EP?
Yes, yes.
Let's break it down, shall we? The first track, appropriately enough, on the Saint Cecilia EP is called Saint Cecilia.
Bring me some healing, Saint Cecilia.
Oh, someone's putting out good music. Thank you, Foo Fighters.
God, they're good.
Boy,
that's pretty fooey.
You're
so good.
That's pretty fooey. Why do you have to taint it with that?
I'm not tainting it
at all.
I'm saying it sounds like a Foo Fighters song, which is nice. We miss them. It's been a while.
Sean.
It sounds like a Foo Fighters song. How is that anything other than a compliment?
Well, you're not saying it's good or bad.
You're not saying that's a great song. You know that, because that would be a compliment. What a great song that is. That sounds like a Foo Fighters song. That's not a compliment.
I meant fooey as a compliment.
Okay. He meant fooey as a compliment.
Noted.
Name of his autobiography.
Sean is the second track on the EP.
Sounds awesome.
Awesome. And fooey. Save your breath. Save your breath. Savior, as in you are my savior.
Uh-huh.
Breath. Save your breath.
So it's save your breath?
No. It's savior, breath. Two words.
Save your breath.
That's three.
That's three words. What you're saying is three words.
I don't understand.
Here's the track. I want to be there now.
Where?
Wherever they are.
Wherever they are.
Playing their music. Iron Rooster.
Have you ever been young enough to feel what you wanted to feel? Take back those years for something real. I'm an Iron Rooster.
Never-ending sigh is the last track.
So
on this
good.
EP. So good.
The wish is drawn inside. The never-ending sigh. No one lets everyone in. No one lets everyone in.
Oh!
I'm with Ralph. I just saw them.
Sounds so good.
I just saw them a month ago. I need to see them again.
I want to see this music now. Now.
And they're from Canada.
No, they're not.
They're Rodney at all.
All from Canada. Nor are they the Monkees. Today's
the Monkees.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. It's like, if you mention the Monkees, it's like Beetlejuice. If you just mention the Monkees three times, Rodney shows up.
And here are the Monkees.
There you go. Celebrity birthdays, all these stars born today, November 23rd. Steve Harvey, TV show host, game show host, radio host, guy. Does it all.
Yeah, but you, as you mentioned last week, Ralph, it's not all, you know, roses for him. He does have some problems with, you know, redecorating his private jet. He
right
does
now
have some concerns as well.
He's in a heated battle with a private jet company over his redecorated jet. So, look, I know some people covet that kind of life. Oh, I'd like to be rich and famous and on television. No, you don't, because look what you have to deal with. You have to pick out swatches for your private jet.
That's tough.
It's very tough. Chris Hardwick, another uber talent who's just omnipresent, 44 years old today. Snooki, good old Snooki, the Snookster. Snooks.
This is the last year for her on the birthday list, though, right?
No.
By that, do you mean she's going to die or we won't mention her next year?
No, I'm just saying at some point she's no longer a celebrity.
But her husband Giovanni was exposed in the Ashley Madison scandal.
Right?
I don't know. And singer Miley Cyrus, last year for her on the list, that's for sure. She's 23 years old today. Thank you, Kevin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with B.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us next hour here on K-Rock. And your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Got two chances for you to win coming up on today's Kevin Avine Show. So if you couldn't get tickets on Friday, sorry. We are going to still figure out a way to get you in there, so keep on listening. Her name is Ashley Chase. She lives in a what looks like a very nice apartment on East 55th Street in New York. She is in the news right now because she started noticing that some things were missing from her apartment. She first suspected something was strange when she returned from a Labor Day trip to the Hamptons last year and realized a purple lace bra was missing. As time passed, a series of other undergarments disappeared, including a black and gold bikini top, a tan bra, and at least three pairs of panties. I also realized at that point that underwear I had worn that weekend that I had put in the dirty hamper was also missing.
Was it Bean?
It actually wasn't Bean, no.
Okay.
So she borrowed an iPhone from her sister and installed an app called Presence, which is an app that I am unfamiliar with, but it automatically activates a phone's video camera when it detects motion. And she put the phone on an end table with a view of the front door. On September 4th, the mystery was solved when she realized that her landlord was coming into her apartment, sniffing and stealing.
Oh, right.
Her undergarments.
All right.
So he has been arrested, by the way, and has confessed. He said, yes, I went in to look around. I took a pair of panties. I left. I went downstairs. I sniffed them, and I threw them in the garbage. And I also went in another time a few months ago. So he has been charged and will probably, you know, have to pay a fine or go to jail or something like that. But it kind of brings up the topic of video surveillance. Look, she wanted to solve this mystery. I mean, I guess she's sad that what it was. She was probably hoping it was a cat or something that came in. Like, he didn't want her creepy landlord going through her stuff. But, I mean, a lot of times you see things on video that you were not prepared for, you were not expecting.
Yeah.
And that's the topic that we have on the table right now for you, the Kevin and Bean listener. Things you caught on surveillance cameras, we want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, remind our listeners who maybe weren't with us last week about that teenager in Maryland.
Boy, this is an ugly story. A Laurel teen is under arrest after breaking into a home multiple times. The victim installed an interior camera to see who it was. The dude shows up, enters the house, eats food that belonged to the homeowner, and then masturbates into the fridge.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part. Could you say that again, please?
He masturbated into the fridge.
Yay!
No, kids.
Oh, kids.
Come on.
Not, kids, that's not
to
be applauded.
Cheer for?
Come on now.
What kind of God makes a world like this?
That's a great question.
Now, why, if you want to steal food and things, I mean, I get that.
Uh-huh.
But then, why go that extra step?
That seems awfully aggressive for just a breaking and entering. Unless if you're trying to sense, like, you know whose house it is, maybe, and this guy has, you know, there's a grudge being paid back here, and he's trying to send a message somehow, I guess.
Because
Who gets turned on by an open fridge? You know? I don't know. Mysteries. Not enough information in this article.
I don't need more. Right. I'm good with as much information as there is.
And story three, and this one does not involve anyone's body parts, so I think this will be a little more palatable at this time of day. And again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You set up a camera or you have surveillance video at your work, you investigated, and you saw what? That's what we want to hear about. Give us a call right now. You can also text us, always, on the Kevin Avine Show at the number 2. KROQ. That's 25767. The other story that we mentioned briefly last week is a guy in Michigan. He's an arsonist. He went to a popular car dealership there and started lighting fires on the cars. He set 11 cars on fire. So when they came in the next day, I guess not the next day, when the fire department showed up and started putting the fire out and they rushed down to see what the damage was, they went to the video camera to see if they could get a bead on who the arsonist was, and they saw the young man who was setting the cars on fire. He also set his own arm on fire.
What?
He runs out of the frame in the video with his arm fully engulfed in flames. Like, not the type of fire that you can just pat out, the type of fire that probably did a great deal of damage to him. And they are hoping that that might be how they're going to track him down, because at some point they feel like he has to get medical attention. It's too much burning for him to just ignore and not go see a doctor. So that could be what gets him caught. But it's the last thing they expected to see when they went to that surveillance video was a dude catching on fire, I'll tell you that.
Remember when somebody ran into the gate here at the station? And we were like, okay, somebody ran out of the gate. Let's go to the surveillance tape. And it turned out to be the person referred to as Voldemort.
Uh-oh.
And and wouldn't admit it, saw it on tape.
That's right.
Boom.
That's the thing, man. When it's on tape, you lose a lot of your lies. A lot of your defenses do not hold up if somebody has the video of you doing it. So let's hear from you. Let's take a couple of calls right now. 1-800-520-1067. What was caught on surveillance video? What did you see on camera that surprised you? We want to hear from you. Let's start with Chase. He's in Riverside. He's up first. He's on line one.
Hey, Chase.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You saw what on a surveillance camera?
We used to have a bum that went through all of our trash cans, you know, when trash day came. And he would always make a mess. And one day, I found a big pile of crap out by the trash cans when I went to go pick him up.
And you don't mean trash. You mean actual.
You're talking actual poop.
Yeah, poop, yeah. Like with a rag covered in it. And I picked up the rag, and it was a nice surprise.
Oh. That is not a nice surprise, first of all. So you went
to the surveillance, and I see him rummaging through the trash, and then he puts a bin on each side, and he kind of makes like a little stall for himself and kind of does a double take, looks both ways, and just drops trowel and just goes for it.
Why do you poop on the yard of the people whose trash you're going through? It seems like you're helping him out.
It's like a pack rat. You take something, you leave something.
Oh, well, I guess that's what it is. All right. Well, that's fair. So what do you do about something like that? Like, how do you stop that from happening?
You know, I attempted to call the police one day, and about a week later, he was gone.
Oh, how about that? So you had him killed. Okay, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that. Let's try David. He's down in San Diego listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. He's on line four. He's up next talking about surveillance videos. What did you see that surprised you on a tape? 1-800-520-1067. Hi, David.
Hey, it's me. Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Ali.
Hey, David.
Yeah, so about a year and a half back, I had broken up with my girlfriend. It wasn't a good breakup, not that good. And anyways, we checked the surveillance camera because my sister was like, dude, we've seen her truck pass by. So we were looking, and sure enough, her truck would pass by. And then one day she did a number one right on my car.
She peed on your car?
On my car, yeah.
Like,
number
did she
one.
Stand on your hood? How'd she do this?
No, on the side of the car by where the gas, they said I can't describe it, so.
Yeah. No, don't, but.
We would have to use our imagination, but yeah, so the side of my car was all, like, nasty one day, and we're like, what is that? And it was not a good time.
So you got back together with her?
No.
I mean, look, if it comes down to saving the paint job on your car, you might want to just consider dating her again. She sounds like a pretty reasonable lady.
That should be very expensive.
All right, David, thank you for the call. What did you see on video? We're taking your calls this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Things you saw on surveillance cameras that surprised you weren't expecting. And by the way, I think these days, Kevin, don't you, that there are so many places that are under surveillance that have video running on them that you have no idea. People don't even know they're on camera. They can't even imagine
probably.
That they're on camera.
I assume,
right?
I'm on camera everywhere you go, right?
Yeah, these days, right? Let's talk to Sandro real quick. He's in. He's calling us from Boston. What's that all about? Sandro.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good.
Are you in Boston right now streaming the show?
Yes, I'm in Cape Cod.
Oh, Allie, right. You excited right now?
I'm very excited. Hi, Sandro.
It's a thrill, right?
Hey,
all right, Sandro. What's going on? Thank you for calling. Hey. Thank you for weighing in. What did you see on camera?
Okay, so I work in construction. So what happened was my lunch has been missing for like, somebody's been taking my lunch for like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. I go pick up the lunch for the other guys. I come back, it's gone. Something's wrong. So I put my phone to capture everything, and my boss was taking my lunch.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So how do you handle that when this is your boss and obviously you want that job? You must have been a little bit nervous to kind of bring it up to him.
Oh, no. I came up to him. I was like, what are we going to do about this? I got you on tape. And he goes, how about a raise? I was like, deal.
Nice.
Well, that's a win-win. It was worth missing a couple of lunches for a raise, right?
Oh, yeah. And then every time I need something, I'd be like, kind of remember that time about my lunch?
You are blackmailing your boss. Well done.
Good work, Sandra.
5 years going on right now. I've been working with them 5 years.
That's awesome. All right, sir. Thanks so much for the call. Have a great day out there in Boston. By the way, you blackmailed somebody. Might be a fun phone topic one day.
Yeah.
It might not be, too. All right. 1-800-520-1067. If you have a story you want to add, things you saw on camera, a surveillance video that surprised you. Christine, assistant producer Christine, just joined us in the studio. You brought up something that I had kind of forgot about that happened right here at K-Rock.
So it was probably about the same time of year a few years ago. And one of our old programmers, his name is John, comes in my office when I used to work for Mr. Weatherby. And he says, hey, did you take my envelope of my acoustic Christmas tickets? I'm like, no. And he says, it's literally missing from where I just put it, which is on top of my keyboard. So I'm like, that's really weird. So we sent out a note. We asked a bunch of people. They're like, we wouldn't take your tickets. Why would we do that? And so he was really upset about this because obviously they can't be replaced. So he goes, he asks our security guide if we can pull up the camera footage of his hallway. And sure enough, you see our old IT guy walking out of his office with his envelope under his arm.
Oh,
just
no.
Nothing going on.
It's so sweet to see that. To actually have proof that something like that happened.
I felt like I was part of like a movie or something.
Yeah.
Like you just like solve this big case, you know?
You get a SWAT team bust
totally.
Down the doors. Yeah.
But I'm so surprised that an IT guy wouldn't know like the ins and outs of the electronics in the building and wouldn't have figured out a way to disable the camera before he went in there, you know, to cover his tracks.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
He's not a master criminal. He's just an
right?
IT guy.
He didn't like shoot the camera out.
What's going on? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to shoot the camera out.
Cut all the power to the building. I'm going in.
Dear Kevin and me, this comes in via text that to K-Rock. This is from the 714. My manager at work manages two gyms, and a few days ago he looked at the surveillance camera and saw that the guy who opens the gym sleeping at the desk. Needless to say, that employee is no longer working there. Yeah, I didn't even think about that as all the bad employee behavior that somebody can just go to the tape and bust you on. I guess that happens all the time. All right, let's take Marco. He's in Chino. He's up next. He's on line two. Hey, Marco. Thanks for calling. Welcome
hey,
to Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Hi.
I used to be a restaurant manager, and twice I had to fire employees for what I saw on surveillance tape.
Okay.
One, as he was leaving his shift, he would always carry a backpack, and he would pass by our storage area and fill condiments like ketchup and hot sauce and honey bottles. So we caught him.
Okay, now, but wait, no food, just condiments?
Yeah.
How many condiments does a dude need? Do you think he had like some sort of a black market ring where he was giving the homies a good deal on bottles of honey?
I have no idea.
He's the worst criminal ever, if that's the case.
Seriously. If you're going to steal something, don't make it ketchup, right?
Absolutely. Like, go for the safe.
I got the good stuff. How much are you going to pay for it?
That's right. No, this is Heinz, man. This isn't that knockoff crap. This is Heinz. All right. And what was the other one? You said there were two.
Yeah, the other one is a busser found a credit card that a guest had left behind. They went to a gas station. And it was actually surveillance on a gas station that they caught it because he sat there at the gas pump and had all his friends come by and he bought them all gas. So you see like eight cars rolled by
wow.
and he's sitting there like charging gas.
Imagine you get that phone call. Hey, I just stole a credit card. Come by. I'm filling up everybody's tank.
Well,
it's a criminal with a heart of gold.
We had the guest call.
He's Robin Hood.
They said that they had lost a credit card at a restaurant. And if we had found it, and they didn't, and then he called back and said the last transaction was at the gas station right across the street.
Gotcha.
So
all right, good stuff. I guess the surveillance paid off. Thank you so much, Marco. Appreciate that. Let's squeeze in Jessica real quick. She's in Downey. Let's leave on a real hopeful, positive up note.
Hey, Jessica.
Hi. I'm such a huge fan of you guys. Thank you for taking my call. Anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. We're very excited about the potential of this story.
Yeah. So, my dad had installed cameras, video surveillance cameras in front of our house.
Yep.
Because I broke up with an ex-boyfriend and he was sending me threatening text messages. Anyways, he tried to light my car on fire on the camera.
Oh, so you didn't know this until you saw the footage that he was trying to light your car on fire?
Yeah, all I knew was that he was texting me and he was like, you're going to regret it.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, just I'm in front of your house. And then all of a sudden, we heard this like loud crash. And what he ended up doing was because he could not succeed lighting my car on fire, he ended up just taking a brick and throwing it at the back of my windshield.
Oh, my
so,
God.
Yeah, he had a piece of cloth, and he put it in my gas tank, him and his friend, and they tried lighting it. It ended up just going out.
Right.
Phasing out. And then he tried it again. They ran away from the car, and then he tried it again, and it ended up phasing out.
What a loser.
We're out of time here, Jessica, but isn't that the best way to prove that a woman has made a mistake in breaking up with somebody is to try to set her car on fire? I mean, that shows that you're a quality guy that should get a second chance, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm so glad he's out of my life now. But, yeah, it was definitely world's dumbest criminal.
All right.
All right, Jessica, glad it worked out. Thanks for calling. It is a tradition as old as Hollywood, the red carpet interview. Boy, there have been hundreds of thousands of movie premieres in Hollywood in the last 100 years, and Beer Mug has been at most of them. And this time it was the night before. Boy, what an all-star lineup for this film, and I can't believe you got everybody to talk to you, Muggs.
Everybody on the movie poster, goddammit.
How do you feel like you did overall, would you say? How would you rate your performance?
I would give myself a B-.
A B-?
Yeah.
Okay. How would you rate this intro, A, and B, I want you to try to diagram this sentence, because I don't think it's possible.
We are here live at the night before world red carpet premiere. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen, Anthony Mackie. Here are their life-size bobbleheads right there. That's pretty cool. This looks like a hilarious-ass movie already, just with their scantily clad Christmas ladies walking around. Just my style. I'm going to try to get one of their numbers.
A sentence that goes off in a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider that a run-on?
I would consider that less than a B-, I'll tell you that.
Come on.
Now, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is awesome.
The coolest.
He's the coolest. And he even suffers Muggs' first question pretty well, considering Muggs' first question is, hey, one time, a long time ago, I yelled at you. Here you go.
I screamed at you one time. I believe it was at the MTV VMAs in Brooklyn one time. Right, but on. It was really packed. So.
No, I heard you. I heard you, definitely.
Yeah, so he's playing along
sweet
with it.
Man. But, I mean, yeah. Sweet.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
What do
you think so? Seriously, I'm not mocking here. What did you expect him to say to I yelled at you at a premiere one?
One time it was busy and I yelled at you.
I have no argument for that. I mean, that there is nothing that he could say that can continue that conversation at all.
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. So he continues with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I really can't wait for the night before because I've seen the trailers and it looks pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
How was it working with all those guys, Anthony Mackie and Seth Rogen?
It was just so much fun. I mean, the thing is, we knew that if we showed up to work and actually had fun and made each other laugh, then that's the experience the audience would have too. So that's what we honestly did.
Let's see. What else should I ask Joe Golev? I think I'm out because I'm just so stunned by your beauty. I got lost in his eyes, guys. I got lost in his eyes.
That
I went blank.
So fast.
I know. That was...
One second, you're actually letting a guest talk, and Joe Golev is great, and he's telling stories, and it was fun, and I was having a good time. I'm out.
And I'm out. I just got lost in his eyes. I just went blank.
How do you get lost in his eyes?
I don't know. I was kind of nervous that night. I don't know why, because I've done a million of these, but...
Yeah.
Well, he's a big star. He's a great actor. And you feel like you need to up your game a little bit because you're dealing with such a professional. I get that. I can't believe you ran out after one statement and one question. I can't believe that was it.
By the way, the one statement was I yelled at you one time.
Right.
All right. So then Joseph Gordon-Levitt goes on to talk about, and this is sort of weird to Bean and I because he's listened to the show for a long time. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt talks about something that sticks in his mind about the Kevin and Bean show. Bean, do you have any guess what that might be?
I can't imagine.
Like one thing that he brings up. Oh, I've listened forever and I love fill in the blank.
All right.
It's the world famous K-Rock, Kevin and Bean. I think can we have just heard like Yellow Ledbetter or something and like then those like last harmonics ring out.
I
always noticed that.
You're a Pearl Jam fan?
I'm a Pearl Jam fan, of course. But I always notice Kevin and Bean let the harmonics ring out on Yellow Ledbetter before they come back. And they're like, it's Kevin and Bean, world famous K-Rock 106.7, you know.
Joe listens. He listens. He's a true fan.
I grew up listening to K-Rock. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. 818.
818?
818.
Me too, Joe Golev. Thanks for stopping and talking to K-Rock, man.
Thanks, dude. Thank you.
That's what sticks in his mind, Bean, is that we didn't talk over the end of Yellow Ledbetter.
That's insane. You could have given me 1,000 guesses, and I wouldn't have been close.
We're putting a lot of work into the wrong stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
All right, so now Anthony Mackie walks up, and Beer Mug is talking to Anthony Mackie. All right.
Nice.
Another star of the movie. Beer Mug asked this is the type of question I think that actors and actresses hate to be asked, because it's sort of a novice, that's dumb, don't ask that. But Anthony Mackie has a great response to Beer Mug's question.
What's the most outrageous thing that's happened at a family Christmas party or holiday party of yours?
Right?
Yeah, terrible.
Right?
Terrible.
Here's his answer.
My first time frying a turkey, I set my yard on fire. Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart, dude. Throw some dirt on it, start over. That's what I did.
Thank you, Anthony. I can't wait to see the movie.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, man.
Now Muggs is going to think that's a great question. Yep, because he got a great answer.
I got the inside scoop on his holiday parties.
You gave 1%, and he met you with 99% to make that a completion.
So, Beer Mug on the red carpet the night before, Seth Rogen walks up.
Nice.
Beer Mug said he was a little nervous. Maybe you see it here.
Here with the man, Seth Rogen. He plays Isaac in The Night Before. First of all, Seth, I got to ask. Well, hold on. I smell pot. Do you smell pot?
Probably someone around here.
Are you going to wear the Star of David sweater when you're just on your own? Day to day.
I'm not. I wore that thing a lot.
Yes.
Every day for like 3 months. So by the end, I was ready to retire the sweater.
What do you think fans will take away from this movie? Do you think it's going to be the new holiday comedy smash hit?
I hope so. Yeah. People seem to like it. It's a really funny, crowd-pleasing movie. So I hope people dig it.
I can't wait to see it. The trailers look awesome.
All right. Well, how do you think Muggs is going to end this? He's going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good, right?
One Jew to another, what's your advice for a Jewish guy looking for a good holiday party?
Just crash one.
Again, Muggs thinks that's a good question now.
Oh.
Come on. Oh. One Jew to another, how do I look for a great holiday party?
Yeah. As if Seth Rogen was the expert on holiday parties.
Yeah. Oh, no, we understand.
It's dumb.
All right. So,
still sticking with B-, by the way, Muggs?
Maybe,
now that you hear back,
maybe an even C.
Here.
Okay, all right.
See, this is the problem.
We're getting closer to the correct answer.
This is the problem, is that Muggs was a D, which, by the way, a step up.
Right.
And the celebrities were an A.
Yeah,
that's right.
So it sort of averages out.
When you average out the grade, it looks good.
Right? All right, so the last time Muggs had a chance to interview LL Cool J. Bean, do you have the tape of that?
LL, the ladies love me.
Okay, so did not sell that.
He says that to LL as he walks by.
Yeah.
So now it's his chance for redemption.
Sure.
He's on the red carpet
the
night before. LL Cool J is standing in front of Beer Mug.
Okay.
The person to Beer Mug's left, I believe, is the crew from Big Boy. LL, right there.
Yeah.
Muggs says nothing.
At all?
LL, can you say hi to Big Boy?
What's up? Big Boy, what up, baby?
I totally pussied out.
He didn't ask LL Cool J a question.
I couldn't produce words out of my mouth.
Again, his beauty?
That's your autobiography.
Lost his eyes?
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So not even a hey, tell us about the movie. Did you have fun? Nothing. No generic.
I think he was just so
close. How do you find a good holiday party?
Because
why do you lip so much?
Just anything. Any question.
The last time that I had my encounter with him, he was walking by really fast. Uh-huh. And I think he was just so accessible to me this time. It was too good to be true. And I was like, whoa, he's right in front of me. And here I'm going to say nothing.
Right, but at least somebody else was standing right there.
LL, can you say hi to Big Boy?
What's up? Big Boy, what up, baby?
I totally pussied out. I could have said, hey, Kevin and Bean, say hi to Kevin and Bean, or LL, say hi to Kevin and Bean, but I didn't.
Just anything.
Big Boy.
You could have said Big Boy as well. All right, so then Beer Mug has to wrap it up.
So there you have it, guys. I talked to everybody from the night before, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen, and Anthony Mackie. I totally bitched out when LL came to stop by. I'm sorry, Carlos. I'm scooting out. Take it here.
Carlos is the
So there you have it, guys. It's me, Beer Mug. What? All right, here we go. So there you guys have it. That was the world premiere red carpet event of the night before. I got everybody in the movie. So there you guys have it. The world premiere red carpet event of the night before. So there you have it. The world premiere red carpet event of the night before has come to an end. And I got to talk to everybody on the poster. The only guy I bitched out when it came to talking to was LL. But what are you going to do? He just makes me nervous.
I'm not sure you know what bitched out means.
What?
The ladies love me.
Right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53. Win tickets to see that band and lots of others at the Sold Out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. That'll be coming up next hour. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network as well. But we also have room for your telephone calls. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Just after 8 o'clock, you can call on any topic right now, 1-800-520-1067. You want to talk Star Wars, you want to talk Kevin's Arizona Cardinals, whatever's on your mind, give us a call, 1-800-520-106. If your call is coming up right after the top of the hour. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
It is a Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, number one, as expected, over the weekend, $101 million made it number one. Then Spectre came in at number two with $14.6 million, the Peanuts movie, third. $12.8 million made it number three. The Night Before debuted with $10 million this weekend. I like to think it's because of Beer Mug's journalistic efforts.
Do you think
he talked to everybody on the poster?
Yeah, he did. That's for everybody on the poster.
Secret in Their Eyes was fifth. Love the Coopers, The Martian, Spotlight, The 33, and Bridge of Spies, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office from the weekend. Congratulations to Adele. Her new album, 25, sold $1.9 million since it went on sale here on Friday.
Copies.
Copies, rather.
Even more, yeah.
Yeah. 1.9 million copies. That's a two-day total, just 1.9 million. So it may have sold, more Sunday. I'm not sure. But
wow.
That's a lot more than most.
Than anyone.
Than all, yeah.
Yeah.
Billboard.com says most of the units were digital downloads of the album, but nearly a million were CD copies. So that's pretty impressive. She sold nearly a million CDs.
Well, she, I mean, she has the same strategy that Taylor Swift had and also had huge CD numbers, which is to have a Target exclusive with bonus tracks. And if you're a hardcore Adele fan, you want to hear those extra three songs, you're willing to make the drive to buy them.
Many of the copies were also vinyl. She released a vinyl copy as well. No word on whether she has reached the cassette or 8-track market yet, but I'm still hoping for the reel-to-reel Adele album. I'm going to whip that out and put it on my... my giant reel-to-reel player.
A sweet system?
Built into the sweet system at home.
Did you guys see Adele on Saturday Night Live?
I taped it.
Hold on. Qualifying question. Mm-hmm. Was she on Saturday Night Live?
She was.
No.
But it's kind of a big deal. You know how rarely we get to see Adele sing? I just wondered if any of you guys checked it out.
No.
Ralph?
No.
Allie?
I taped it. Haven't watched it yet. However, when I taped it, the DVR setting said Anne Hathaway. I was like, what? What?
Same thing.
Well, that was the primetime earlier SNL that they aired.
Oh.
How
and then
weird.
The regular 11:30 one was Matthew McConaughey as host with Adele as the musical.
She's User error.
That explains so much.
Sounds like a NyQuil weekend for Alex.
She's just flawless as always. Never a false note with that woman. She's unbelievable.
All right. There you go.
Agreed.
On Friday, the BBC aired a special featuring Adele in a live performance of her new album. And they also edited in some other fun moments, including a bit she did with Graham Norton, who hosted the show, where it was an elaborate prank where Graham Norton set up this fake audition for a fictional television special on the BBC that was going to feature Adele impersonators.
Okay.
So they brought in around 8 women who claimed they were Adele impersonators. Then they took Adele and they put her in heavy prosthetic makeup with a fake nose and a fake chin and a wig. And they entered her into the competition.
That's
that
Jenny.
Awesome.
Yes.
As a woman named Jenny. And she is hanging backstage with the fake Adeles. And they're all chatting and talking to each other. And in this clip that I'm about to play for you, you can hear her talking to the girls where she starts to slag off on Adele a little bit. Jenny does.
Awesome.
The fictional Jenny starts to talk about how you know, it's been a long time since you released an album. She's taking her sweet time, isn't she? And started, like, bad-mouthing Adele a little bit. And here's some fun interplay backstage of this this sketch.
Do you guys just do Adele? Any of us just do you just do Adele?
Yeah, I've just started out.
I can't wait for the new album, though.
Mm.
New music. Yeah. New music would be so nice.
Taking our time.
Do you want to say that to her face? I'd love to see the reaction.
I would.
I would say that to her face. So she was the last one to go out there, and all of a sudden she starts singing just like Adele, and the women, the other contestants, are sitting in the audience, and one by one you can see it dawn on them as they listen to her and they watch her perform, and then they start to see through the makeup. They realize that the real Adele has been with them the whole time.
Did the woman who said she would tell her to her face kill herself at that point?
Actually, that was Adele.
That was Adele.
Oh, yeah. She was like, why don't you say that to her face? She was like, I would say it to her. That was Adele saying that about Adele. So that was very funny. You can check that out online. That
and day. It must be so disorienting for them because you're right, Ralph. They're realizing, oh my God, that sounds exactly like Adele. It must be Adele. But look at her; she doesn't look like Adele, and they just can't process the fact that she's had this makeup on her face because she really did look different.
Yeah, she looked very different.
It was brilliantly done.
Did you guys catch any of the American Music Awards over the weekend?
I saw just a little.
A
bit
qualifying
of it.
Question.
I hate that show so much.
Was it the American Music Awards?
It was, Kevin. Yeah, in fact, the American Music Awards. No. Yes. But 5 Seconds of Summer was on there. They did their "Hey Everybody" song.
Was Sunday Night Football on and The Walking Dead?
Ariana Grande? she was on the show. I know you love her, Kevin.
I do love her very much.
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande?
Yeah, she was on the show. Come on, Nick Jones? Jonas? Someone named Nick?
He's one of the Jones brothers.
Hey, those Jonas brothers are assholes!
Had I known this was going to happen, though, I would have tuned in, I think.
Okay.
Harrison Ford introducing Pentatonix. That happened.
Yeah. Really? Did you see that, Bean?
I did.
Because Pentatonix was performing a medley of music from Star Wars movies with their a cappella voices.
Okay.
What was happening on the American Music Awards that this was a thing?
I have that audio, but it's not edited yet, Ralph. But if you want, we'll play some of it next hour. If you want to hear what it sounds like with them making Star Wars noises.
No,
with
I know mouth. What it sounds like. It sounds like people going, dum, 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 dum. I'm sure that's what it sounds like. What I'm asking is, why was it on television, and how did they rook Harrison Ford into introducing it?
I love that they picked him.
My understanding is he is a fan of Pentatonix and wanted to do it, by the way.
It's in John Williams.
Who needs that on your television?
Look, it's all Star Wars all the time for the next 30 days. You know that. It was just part of the big promotional push.
Well, finally. Thank God, finally, someone will go to see Star Wars now that Pentatonix did a medley of 30-year-old movie music on the American Music Awards. Finally, now they've tapped into the audience.
Look,
that will go to see Star Wars.
I don't care anything about Pentatonix, and I didn't care anything about this performance, but I can see what they were going for because Star Wars is so hot, and Pentatonix is a very popular band, and they recently had a number one pop album. I mean, they have a lot of fans out there, and they thought it was a good way to
put
those two things together.
We get that.
Why do you think I don't understand why the American Music Awards would want to tie themselves to Star Wars? What I'm asking is, how did Harrison Ford say, yes, I will go out there and I will say this to people who can see me?
Singing music from our movies with their mouths.
He's being a good soldier, and he's doing whatever he can to promote the movie as if Star Wars needs promotion.
Nope.
Let's talk to Harrison tomorrow. Maybe
they should have had Bill Murray come out and do his Star Wars medley like he did on Saturday Night Live. Star Wars! I love those Star Wars! Those near and those far wars coming for you! Now that would have been worth watching.
That would have been great.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Steve Harvey, 59 years old today. TV host, radio DJ rather. Chris Hardwick started out right here on K-Rock.
He did.
Whatever happened to that guy? Oh, he's on television on all the programs all the time.
Running an empire.
44 years old today. Snooki from the Jersey Shore is 28 years old today. And singer Miley Cyrus turns 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, you are. And you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Time for What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good? We're to carve out a little bit of time in every show where we can to give you the opportunity to weigh in on subjects on your mind, things going on in your life, comments, questions about the show. All is welcome at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Dolly? She is A, named Dolly, and B is in Brea on line one, and she's joining us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dolly.
Hi, guys.
I want to give it up. I want to give it up for Bean for not saying hello, Dolly.
I really
I
thought
that's where he was going.
Very impressive.
I sure thought it.
I thought that's where Bean's going, and Dolly has heard that 1 billion times.
That's why I wouldn't do it.
Dolly, I've heard Dolly Parton,
sure.
Dolly Madison, hello, Dolly.
Yep.
Yeah, I've had
Dolly
it all.
Dolly Lama.
I've had it all.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a tough name. That's a tough name to live with, Dolly.
It's made me very strong.
All right. Well, what can we do for you, my dear?
Okay, so I'm a podcast listener, but I have to tell you, and I feel very badly about saying this, but I can't believe nobody has said something, especially Ralph. RJ Bell's voice, his accent, drives me bananas.
Does it really?
Really?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you guys haven't noticed it. He talks like this and more. Oh, my gosh.
I know
I
he has
I can't believe you guys.
We've heard that he has an accent. It just doesn't annoy us like it does you, I think.
Like I said, I can't believe that Ralph hasn't picked up on it. Aren't they from the same area?
Ralph is from Philadelphia and RJ is from Pittsburgh, but similar though. I do think they share some characteristics along with New Jersey, right?
Yeah. I would love to hear Ralph's impersonation of
why he does a perfect impersonation. Why would you want that? You hate it.
Right.
Maybe if Ralph
it would make me feel better that somebody else is noticing that it drives me bananas.
Okay.
Maybe if Dolly heard Ralph doing RJ, she would somehow learn to like it because then it became funny.
Thank you. Ellie, right here,
all right.
Sister.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Dolly,
I hear you.
Dolly, we're going to have Ralph call you at home. Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be great. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you for the call. All right. Let's go to, how about Chuck in Chatsworth? He's up next, line two.
Hey, Chuck.
Happy Blovember, party people.
Impressed you didn't say, what's up, Chuck, Kevin? Because you wanted to.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
What's up, Chuck?
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, what's good is not only is it the most wonderful time of the year, Thanksgiving is here, and it's time to call the Butterball Hotline.
Ooh. About that. Look, that's worth an answer, Kevin. I know you want to get him off the phone, but let's answer Chuck because lots of other people have been reaching out to us with the same question about why don't you call the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Why do you hate it so much?
Because it's
sucks.
Stupid
but
beyond
it just,
words.
But it's funny.
Call it.
It does. It's not good. I think it was funny in how bad it was, but I think that – all right with the ringing phone. But I think that only gets you so far, and at some point you just have to say, okay, it was funny because it was bad, but now it's just bad. I'm sorry, Chuck. I did the best I could for you.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too. You as well. Okay, bye-bye.
Man, that phone kept ringing. We should respond to that next time.
Nothing we can do about that.
Right.
All right, let's try Andrew Pomona. Let's squeeze in another one here. Andrew, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
It's me.
Yes, it is.
Actually, I wanted to – you guys only touched on it very briefly in the last showbiz. The new Foo Fighters LP that dropped last night. I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning to get ready for work, and there in my email was a beautiful little link to that EP.
It's so good.
Right?
It's so good. Five new Foo Fighters songs, and here's the best part, and I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, but it is free. Dave is very moved, as many of us were, by the events in Paris a couple of Fridays ago, and he has asked if you feel like paying for it, please make a donation. And I think they've got it set up on their site where you can make a donation to help some of the family members of people who were killed in the terrorist attacks. But how awesome is that, that they're not only giving away free music to the fans, but they're also encouraging people to donate to a worthy cause?
Yeah, it's great.
It's very cool. And
What's your favorite song, by the way, Andrew? Do you have one yet?
It's got to be Saint Cecilia. That's classic Foo Fighters right there. The guitar riffs, everything is great.
Here's a little clip of that. Bring me some healing, Saint Cecilia. fans so much.
They never seem to run out of ideas. They always seem to be hit with inspiration. And they said they were in Austin, Texas, and they just got inspired to go into a studio and write and record a bunch of new songs. And it's just it's amazing. You think at some point they're just going to run out of great ideas for songs, but they don't.
Yeah. He also mentioned that they're going to take a brief hiatus, too, from touring.
Just yeah, so we've heard him say that before. Dave waits about 2 weeks before he wants to start working again. So, Andrew, I'm glad you brought that up. Good call, my friend. Thank you.
All right. More? We have more?
No, we got to clear the lines.
Okay.
We got to clear the lines because we have something awesome prepared for you next, and that is the first pair of tickets that we are giving away for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Now, this one is going to be for the sold-out night number one. This is AWOL Nation and Bastille, Cage the Elephant, Disclosure, Foals, who are a great band, by the way, Halsey, Silverstone Pickups, The Struts, 21 Pilots, Weezer, and Ex-Ambassadors. This time around, we're looking for Weezer fans. If you want to see your boys on night number one at the Forum December 13th, you call us right now. Looking for Weezer fans at 1-800-520-1067. You earn your way in next on K-Rock.
Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of our old friend Clucky the Chicken is here. Hey, Clucky. You ready to help us give away some tickets to night number one, sold out of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 show, Saturday, December 12th at the Forum? All right, it's Cluck at the Hits. Hit it, Steve.
Now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's pet chicken, Clucky, the most talented chicken in the world, the only chicken that can sing
Weezer
songs for you. If you can identify the song, you just may win those tickets. Take it away, Clucky!
So, Clucky, you're going to be clucking Weezer songs, and all the listeners have to do is identify the Weezer song by title, and then they go in the drawing to win the tickets at the end, right? Is that a yes or is that a no, Clucky?
What?
That's a yes. All right. Who's our first contestant?
Yeah, I hear you, Clucky.
Who's our first contestant, Clucky?
Micah.
Hey, Micah.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Very well, thank you. All right, we apologize, but Clucky is on the line. He's going to be doing a Weezer song for you. Listen carefully. Now, are we playing it once or twice, Kevin?
We're doing it once.
All right, we're playing it once. I mean, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what you mean is we're doing it. All right, so listen up. What Weezer song is this? Clucky?
All right.
I have no clue. That one's tough.
Guess a Weezer song.
Yeah, you know it's a Weezer song.
Sorry, that was Sweater song.
If you want to destroy my sweater. Of course.
Okay. Yeah, not of course. Not of course. I was looking at it and I couldn't identify it.
Right, thank you, Micah. Clucky, who's our next contestant?
Mike in Irvine, right. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
This could be the hardest game in the world.
All right, here you go. Here's your song. I hope somebody's alarm just went off during that.
Wow.
All right.
Sounds like this. No.
Islands in the Sea. Oh, no, you don't get the clock along with it. Nope.
Clucky, have you heard any of these Weezer songs before? This is hard, man. Well, you too.
Wow. Okay.
Who's next? Bill in Anaheim. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Clucky's going on.
Things. Oh, man.
Are you ready?
All right, let's do this.
There you go. Holy crap.
Oh, man.
Hall of Fame!
I'll go with Say It Ain't So.
Oh! Yes! Was that a wild stab in the dark, Bill, or did you think it sounded like it?
You know, it sounded a little.
All right. Very impressive.
All right. Let's try one more contestant, see if we can get Bill some company for the drawing. Clucky, who's next, please?
Yeah, sure. It's Diane in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Welcome to Cluck and the Hits. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Go ahead, Clucky. What is happening?
What in the world was that?
That was a Weezer song. And the title of that Weezer song is...
Oh, my God. That sounded like nothing. Hash Pipe?
Sorry, that was Beverly Hills.
Yeah, so sorry, Diane, but thank you for playing anyway. Clucky, only Bill is in the drawing. Let's see who wins the tickets to the sold-out night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, Saturday, December 12th at the Forum. Alan McKay, the drawing, please.
It is Bill. You're right, Clucky.
Clucky.
Congratulations. Thanks for playing the game. Thank you, Clucks.
That was Clucking the Hits.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone Channel joins us every Monday because he's awesome. Hey, Andrew, how was your yesterday, man?
My yesterday was good, guys. How was your yesterday and the day before that?
Fantastic.
Doing fine. What's the no pee during the Red Zone streak up to?
If you must know, the streak is 25.
25 Sundays in a row without peeing. Yeah. For how many hours, Andrew?
Dating back to last year, it would be, let's see, the last trip down the hall, if you must know, is roughly 9:52, and that goes till about 4:45.
Hey, Bede?
Yeah.
Do we have to discuss this?
Yeah, maybe off the air.
Every week?
I'm just so amazed.
Right, I know you're amazed, right.
But I can't go two hours without peeing. He's going eight. It's a miracle.
Call him.
There's a joke there about streaming NFL Sunday tickets.
All right, let's move on. And I want to start with Andrew. Feel free to chime in, guys, with whatever games you're interested in. But I want to start with, I hate to see the weekend end on a controversy, but apparently the Bengals are a little bit ticked off about that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty at the end of the game. Can you tell me what happened there?
All right, so the Cardinals are driving. They're trying to kick a game-winning field goal, and the Cardinals are running to the line. We've seen it before where they're out of timeouts, and they got to spike the ball, and everyone's got to get lined up, and it's chaos. Now, if the offense here, the Cardinals, don't line up correctly, then you could throw a flag for illegal motion, and you wind the clock 10 seconds, which at that point, the game would have expired and would have gone to overtime. However, when both sides jumped, it looked like the offense jumped. They called it on the defense what the call was, and it is a legitimate call, but you don't hear it very often.
Ah.
It's that the defense was, quote-unquote, sending disconcerting or something signals. In other words, what the defense was doing was yelling, hut, hut, or something like that, to try to get the offense to move, thus getting the flag on the offense and setting it to overtime. You can't do that to try to... No, just blatantly try to trick the offense.
They claim they were yelling, get set, get set, get set.
Right.
And yeah. Their argument is it doesn't sound like hike.
Well, Carson Palmer would tell you that often before he hikes the ball, he'll say sit, set, or something like that.
Right.
It goes either way, but you rarely see.
They did go back, though, and show the referee who was standing really close to that defender. Like, seemed like he knew.
Well,
plus, it's my team, so.
Yeah, well, so here's the deal. In the final 2 minutes, that referee stands closer to the line. So in a two-minute drill, his position changes. He was actually in position exactly where he's supposed to be.
Ah, okay.
Ah.
Where do you rank Kevin's Arizona Cardinals?
Yes.
In the best teams in football right now? Are they second? Are they third? Are they fourth? Where are they?
I would say they're third, but I would give them a very good chance against either one of the two. I would go New England 1. New England will win tonight. They'll go to 10-0. Carolina's already 10-0. I'd put them at number 2. And I'd probably say the Panthers are number 3. That was the thing. Everyone wants to say, well, the Bengals are bad at primetime. Lazy. That was a really good game between two really good teams, and I hope they play each other again. And Arizona came out the better team. But,
right.
I mean, you don't think Arizona can beat New England? I do.
Of course, let's not be ridiculous.
Let's move on to the Broncos game. How did you feel Brock Osweiler did as a starter?
He did well enough. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't throw an interception. He had, put it this way, his game yesterday statistically was everything that Peyton Manning has not done all season, which was complete the majority of his passes, play efficiently, and not turn the ball over. And now they have a legitimate issue here. If you're a betting man, and I told you this last week, you are in all likelihood going to see Brock Osweiler next Sunday night against Tom Brady and the Patriots. It will be not Manning Brady, it will be Osweiler Brady. And they're going to say, here's what I'm going to guess. They're going to say this is still injury-related, that Peyton needs another week, he needs more time, which is fine. I don't think anyone truly doubts that he couldn't use more time. But then the question becomes, what happens next Sunday, and what do you do in 2 weeks?
Right. If Brock Osweiler has a great game against the Patriots, how do you not leave him in?
You have to leave him in.
But, you have to, right.
Do you really think he's going to have a great game? And logic would dictate he'll have a good game, not a great game, and they'll lose.
Okay, so if he has a good game, then what do you do next the week after?
I honestly
that's above our pay grades, I guess.
Remember we talked about it last week. There's a chance you've seen Peyton Manning last play. Now,
yeah,
I don't think that's the case, but they say we're going to just, you know, let him get healthy and then bring him back in December. Really? When it's cold?
Yeah. Yeah.
He even came out and said, not only is he, you haven't seen his last play, he might play next year as well. Do you think that's just hype?
Well, so NBC reported that last night, and I'm not here to question Mike Florio's sources, but the whole thing, when he said it last night after the game, I know that in my world, my phone started buzzing, as in, did you just hear that?
Right, yeah.
Because there's no one who thinks Peyton is going to play.
Right, that's what
and
I thought.
It kind of reeked, and I'm not calling out another reporter, it kind of reeked of, like a almost a desperation from Peyton's camp after a day's worth of, wow, Peyton must be dead. Look, the kid played well hype.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're almost out of time with our friend Andrew Siciliano. Let's talk briefly about the return of Tony Romo. Bad news for Chip's Miami Dolphins, but it's crazy to me that at 3-7, the Cowboys are still in the playoff hunt in the NFC East.
All right, so this is how ridiculous this is. There are 16 teams in each conference. Right?
Right.
So ranked 1 through 16, just in terms of record, 1 through 16. Right now the Cowboys are 16 in the NFC. They're worst. They're the last team in the NFC.
All right.
If they win on Thanksgiving, and they would have to beat an undefeated 10-0 Carolina team, so it's unlikely. But let's say they do, okay? Crazy things happen. It's Thanksgiving. They would then only be one game back in the loss, in the win column, I'm sorry, in their division.
Wow.
Their division's not good.
Really?
Hot take.
That's your conclusion?
Hot take.
Right.
All right. Let me ask you one more question, Andrew, and maybe there's no answer to this. Maybe the answer is just that people are human and people miss stuff. Yesterday, one of the great games was Thomas Rawls of the Seattle Seahawks, who was filling in for Marshawn Lynch, and I think he ended up with, what, like 240 yards or something like that?
209. 209 on the ground, 2-something, yeah. Total.
Okay, crazy. My question to you is, how often does it happen that a great player comes from an undrafted rookie? And why, with all of the scouts and all of the procedures in motion to find those talented athletes, why do guys like that still end up undrafted, do you think?
Well, I mean, it happens. Look at Arian Foster. Arian Foster is one of the best guys in the game. He's injured. He may not play again, but he was great there for 4 or 5 years. He was undrafted out of Tennessee because he had injury issues. Thomas Rawls actually went to Michigan at first, and he had some off-the-field issues, let's put it that way, and he ended up at Central Michigan. And then no one wanted to touch him because they didn't know about the off-the-field issues, so they didn't have all the details, and they went, now we're not going to waste a draft.
And he was way off the radar being at Central Michigan.
He was off the radar at Central Michigan, and so the Seahawks did their homework. They brought him in, seems to be, you know, staying on the straight and narrow. And he could very well be the reason that Marshawn Lynch is a Skittle spokesman next year and not playing football in Seattle.
Yeah, no kidding. I just feel like it's with all the money they spend on scouts, it's just so funny when you see players that still fall through the cracks, you know?
But those are the scouts that you deserve, that deserve raises. Because those are, and look, anyone can go scout the top 10 players in the draft by a magazine.
Right.
By the way, it was against the 49ers, too. Let's not get crazy.
Yeah, let's not get crazy. Exactly. It's not like they were playing a pro team. Right, exactly. All right. Well, good stuff, as always. And and the Patriots will win by how much tonight, Andrew? What's your thought on that?
Well, I actually think it's closer than most people think, but I still think they were by 2 touchdowns.
Allie, what do you think? You got a lot of guys hurt.
A lot of guys hurt.
I didn't know you were there. You've been quiet.
I know. It's true. I don't think they're going to win by a lot. No. And honestly, I know it's not popular to say. I'd like for them to lose one or two games.
Would I like them
to lose against Rex? Absolutely not.
But, you think it would be good for them in the long term?
Yeah.
Allie, you know you are. You're a lying liar.
Am I?
Well, she's a Patriots fan. Come on.
I
don't want them to go undefeated. Absolutely.
Why?
No, because it doesn't end well for them.
One time they went undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean it's going to happen again.
I don't like it. Leave me alone.
There's anxiety and doubt about the immortal Tom Brady.
Listen, if you were raised by Bostonians, you would just be counting your blessings every single day when there's a win. But you always look for a loss.
Mm.
It's going to happen.
Now you're going to tell me that David Ortiz never took any shortcuts and he's totally legitimate and we should celebrate him now as he retires?
Absolutely. How dare you even say anything of the sort, saying that's
not
true.
Look for Andrew on Around the NFL on the NFL Network once again this afternoon at 3 with another great show, and next Sunday on DirecTV's Red Zone channel. We love you, brother. Thanks for coming on. We'll do it again next time.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Hey, bright and early this morning, first thing when we came on, we made this announcement that the voting is now open. Who would you like to see represent the Kevin Bean Show next year? Miss Double December 2016. Pretty strong batch of ladies, if I do say so myself. What are you?
Is that a positive?
About?
Hell
yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're impressed, right? Good group.
It's one of our best. It's quite the crop. Whatever you put in the soil there at our ranch up north where we grow them, it's working. That's all I'm saying.
And lots of different kinds of girls, too. I mean, they do all have, obviously, two things in common, but the rest of their package.
Come on!
No, I'm saying...
Don't be bad!
I'm saying it's not like they all look alike. I mean, there's somebody for everybody here, so you vote for who you like. Go to KROQ.com and then be sure to join us live as the pageant unfolds once again this year at the Slide Bar in downtown Fullerton. That's going to be two Fridays from right now on December the 4th. Details at KROQ.com, and definitely vote early and vote often. All right, Ralph Garman is here. Showbiz Beat time on a Monday. What's going on?
Were you bottle fed as a baby? Does that explain your obsession with the female... memory glands.
I don't think I have an extraordinary obsession.
Were you?
Second of all,
were you deprived?
I have no idea whether I was bottle or breastfed. I don't know. I don't really remember my childhood.
I think Bean had an Uncle Creepy of his own. Perhaps that's why he can't remember anything. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It would make sense. Repression.
It would make sense.
By the way, what did I say that was bad? All I said is they all look, they're very different types of women.
They have two good reasons.
Except for the one thing that they obviously have in common.
One thing in common. You said, they've got two things in common.
Well, make it a funny.
Daddy likey.
There was no daddy likey. There was no hey, hey, hey. I was just saying they have two things in common.
The hey, hey, hey is implied, by the way.
I think you guys are being unusually harsh on your boy being here. All right, what are we talking about?
Let's move on. I'm uncomfortable.
He's got to catch a bus to the ferry, to the canoe, to the mainland.
To the Denny's.
We've got top 10 movies at the box office like we do every Monday morning. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. $101 million made it number one this weekend. By a long shot, the closest competitor was James Bond. Spectre earning a paltry, in comparison, $14.6 million. Then the boring Peanuts movie, third.
Is that what it's called?
Well, according to my 5-year-old daughter, that's what it's called. Okay. Yes. The Night Before was fourth, and Secret in Their Eyes, fifth. In its debut, made $6.6 million. Love the Coopers was sixth, then The Martian, Spotlight, The 33, and Bridge of Spies. Speaking of movies, congratulations to Kevin Smith. Just announced... his film Yoga Hosers will be debuting at the Sundance Film Festival in January.
No. Fantastic.
Very happy for Kevin and all the Yoga Hosers kids that I got a chance to play with when we were making that movie. Johnny Depp, of course, stars along with his daughter Lily Rose Depp and Kevin's daughter Harley, also the star of the film. It's wildly entertaining, and I'm
Looking forward to seeing what the people in Sundance think about that particular film or particular film.
What weekend is that, Ralph? Because I'm trying to plan.
I'll let you know. I'm going to send you an owl that has an invitation in its talons.
Harry Potter now?
Yeah.
What?
That's how you'll get it.
Are we going to all fly out there together? Or
no,
you want to meet
separately.
At the hotel? Or how do you want to work it out?
I think you...
Meet at the screening, though.
I think you should get a team of sled dogs...
and go north.
Go north, young man, until you hit a bank. And then just make yourself an igloo, and I'll meet you at the igloo.
It's a good plan. It's solid. I like it.
Over the weekend, a lot of music. A lot of music was happening over the weekend. You had the AMAs, of course, the American Music Awards.
Sure.
Or the TBS Awards, is there also known? Total BS.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The only thing of interest as I look over this recap of the awards was Harrison Ford introducing the a cappella group Pentatonix as they sang a wordless melody of music from the Star Wars movies. No, that's not a fever dream or a Mad Lib.
It does sound like both.
Those things actually happened. They brought an a cappella group to sing music from Star Wars, and Harrison Ford was actually roped into introducing it somehow. Here's what it sounded like.
Many of you know composer John Williams' name, but one thing for sure, all movie fans know of his music.
Now, this is the World War II survivor that they brought out.
He was thrilled to be there, as you can tell. Harrison Ford was thrilled to be participating in the American Music Awards last night.
Just to remind you, he wrote this. And there was this.
You want to hear any more from Harrison, or should I go right to the Pentatonix? It's your call.
There was this. There you go. And this one sounds vaguely familiar.
I feel like maybe we've heard the whole thing.
I don't know that the music matches the tempo, the level of enthusiasm that Harrison is bringing.
But perhaps the most famous of all is the incredible score John Williams composed for Star Wars. Tonight you're going to hear that musical score performed by a full symphony orchestra and the best-selling a cappella group, Pentatonix.
Well, it's not a cappella, then, is it? If it has a full symphony orchestra, it's not a cappella.
Yes,
That's with a pella.
I was questioning why you bring out an a cappella band and then put a band behind them, because it seems like that kind of defeats the purpose. But here's a little bit of their Star Wars medley. Just wave me off when you've had enough, Ralph. Look,
can we say anything, or do we just have to keep waving?
They're talented. I was looking at Ralph waiting for him to wave. They're talented, and I can't do that, but it still doesn't need to exist, right?
It's the Orchestra de la Raza.
Yeah, essentially. That's what it is.
Yeah.
No, ain't nobody got time for that, right?
Harrison certainly doesn't.
Yeah, boy, he was sure excited.
You can tell. He was on fire for it.
Yeah, man, this sounded familiar. This song, yeah. And he also wrote this song. And,
well, that happened on your American Music Awards last night.
Wow.
Go, Harry.
Sorry, I missed that.
Me too. Today's celebrity birthdays. Miley Cyrus is 23 years old today. Snooki.
Hold, please.
All right. Snooki from Jersey Shore is 28. Chris Hardwick, our friend and the hardest working man in show business, is 44. And Steve Harvey, TV host, host of the Family Feud radio show host. Private jet owner, 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you have not yet seen the latest episode of The Walking Dead on AMC, then first of all, you're a terrible person and you're making awful choices with your life. But second of all, we are going to spoil the crap out of it right now. So I'm just giving you a heads up right now. If you haven't seen the latest episode, then go away. Hey, Caitlin Nacon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Caitlin is Enid on The Walking Dead on AMC, and we have so many questions after this week's episode. But I want to start with, how does a young person like you end up as an actress on The Walking Dead? That's unbelievable.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out myself, to be honest.
I mean, do they have casting calls when, hey, we're going to Alexandria, we need some new people?
Who, I mean,
come on down.
My agent got me the audition, and so it was a casting process in about a week. Yeah, it wasn't too big, I don't think. I don't know. They could have, I filmed it on tape, so they could have had thousands of people doing it. I'm not sure.
So you're saying from the beginning of you just found out that you're going to audition for that show, and then the time you got it was a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Must have been a hell of an audition. So did you have any idea how big a character Enid was going to be when you read for it?
No, I had no clue because, like, it said just a co-star, so I didn't assume too much out of it. But I guess, mm-hmm. I don't know if they assumed a lot out of it at the beginning either. So I assumed that they just kind of built on her.
So when you got the script for this week's episode, you must have been like, oh my God, I'm like carrying this thing. Like, I mean,
I was freaking out.
I bet so. All right, again, spoiler alert, because if you haven't seen the episode, that you don't want to hear this from us, but take us through what it's been like being a cast member of The Walking Dead, going through these past few, I guess it's been 4 weeks since Glenn, quote-unquote, died, to his resurrection last night. What's that been like? Because you obviously knew about it and couldn't say anything to anybody.
Yeah, it was a lot of questions. A lot of questions. Mostly, they were all about Glenn, of course.
Sure.
And I was like, I don't know. We'll just have to roll with the punches, I guess.
So you just lie to your friends and family. That's how you go.
Yep. Pretty much.
You don't have a choice, I imagine. Do you have close friends who went, come on, you can tell me.
Well, I have, like, one friend that, like, really watches the show, mm-hmm. or she watched it before, like, I was on it and everything. And I can't tell if she really wants to know or if she doesn't want to know what happens.
Yeah,
because she asked me, and then
line.
She's like, wait, no, don't I don't want to know. Yeah.
So what do you think is going on with Enid? Everybody kind of reacts to the event that caused the zombies differently. Enid seems to have really screwed her up in the head to the point where she just wants to give up. In her mind, the world is not worth fighting for, right?
Yeah, it's kind of just like, well, like, after her parents died, it kind of became herself and just being on her own and fighting the world, pretty much. And so after her parents died, she didn't really, like, open up to anyone else because it was a main defense mechanism to kind of be closed off and not let anyone in because she didn't want to lose them like she did with her parents. So it's kind of hard for her because she doesn't let anyone near herself, so it's hard to fight for something when you don't really have anything to fight for.
It's a unique reaction, too, in that most of the other people, if they can find somebody to be friends with and help be part of the group, they want that because you really can't survive on your mm-hmm. own, but your character is fine on your own.
See, but for her, that's like the worst thing. That's like the worst thing is to find someone that she cares about because she's fine with, like, getting hurt or dying. It's just she's not okay with caring for someone and then having them die because she knows mm-hmm. that would affect her a lot worse.
Okay, but having said that, nobody gets to be a dick to Glenn.
Right? I've heard a lot about that from the fans.
You put a gun to Glenn's head.
Yeah.
Uncool, Caitlin. Uncool.
That was pretty fun to shoot, though.
Yeah, I bet it was. So, I mean, even somebody like Glenn, who obviously cares so much for Enid and wants to, hey, you know, I got your back, even that's not enough to kind of pull Enid out of the abyss. She still is resisting, still pushing
yeah.
back, even somebody who clearly cares about her wants to help her.
I mean, it just really scares her because she hasn't had a close connection with anyone for a really long time, and she's made sure of that. So it would be weird for her to just completely change her way of thinking just by meeting one person. It's kind of ingrained in her mind. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to just change your habits on a whim.
Is it a strange acting experience to be so removed and even rude?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To other characters where you just go, I can't let anyone in.
Yeah.
Is that hard personally?
I mean, you do get a lot of your, like, issues out. That's for sure. You can get all of that built up emotion out of there. That's really nice. It's like my own therapy session.
We're talking to actress Caitlin Nacon here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She plays Enid on The Walking Dead. If you tuned in late, we are spoiling this week's show, so be forewarned. How do you like essentially living in Georgia while you make this show and kind of being on these sets and being around these people? Is it a crazy, great acting experience?
Well, I was born and raised in Georgia, so
nice.
I didn't have to move across the country, which was really cool. but yeah, it's great. I mean, everyone's just so nice, and it's just like a huge family. I couldn't have gotten luckier.
Did you eat turtles when you were growing up?
No.
You seem very at ease with that.
I try not to make a habit out of that.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going so far, as you can tell.
How do they film something like that?
What do they use?
What was it like for you?
They gave me chicken wings that they soaked in like this fake blood thing, and I wasn't really noticing what I was doing while I was doing it, so I was kind of just in the moment. But like afterwards on the ride home, I was kind of like, ooh, that was pretty gross.
it would not occur to me to kill and eat a turtle, but then again, I haven't survived a zombie apocalypse.
You would die in 1 second in a zombie apocalypse.
I feel like I might.
That's right.
All right, so when we left Enid, she and Glenn finally get back to the wall, and it looks bad. Things are looking bad. So next week's episode is the finale for the half a season, right?
Yep, it's pretty exciting.
It's going down, right?
Yeah.
We go through. We've been fans of this show since since minute one,
and
some of us on the shows like Chip has read the comic books forever and stuff. But we go into it. This is not a joke, Caitlin. We seriously get depressed after the last Walking Dead airs, and we come in and we go, really, we have to wait like 11 weeks for another.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to have that show go away because you just get so excited about Sunday nights.
Yeah, see, I'm obsessed with it too, and I got lucky to where like when the show stops like airing on TV, I just get to act in it.
Yes.
I got it lucky.
You're better than we are.
I got it easy.
All right. Anything at all you want to or can tell us about this weekend show?
This weekend show? Well, it's good. It's very good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the mid-season finale, so of course it's going to be intense.
I enjoyed the fact that Maggie's character was so unbelievably happy that Glenn's home, followed in 1 second,
yes,
by a destruction of the camp and all of the
because life's never, especially then, life's never going to be like just this straight up happy.
Give Maggie like a beat,
yes,
like just 5 seconds,
just a break, just a breather, once in a while.
Exactly.
Well, you have done a great job on the show as
Thank
Enid,
you.
And it was super fun this week to see an episode that featured you so prominently, along with the return of a fan favorite. And, everybody is talking about it right now. It's the most popular show on TV, and everybody's got a lot of opinion about the stories that you guys are spinning. So keep doing the great work, and we're really happy we got a chance to meet you. Caitlin, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:44.
I believe we have time for another look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman.
Why not? We're all here. Microphones are hot.
Right?
So's the music here at K-Rock. Hey, everybody. Bing bong. 9:44 in the AM here on K-Rock. 106.7 FM on your radio dial. Before I get to showbiz news, let me give you something. Because you're nice. There is going to be an event at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It's going to be a good time.
K-Rock, that's hot!
K-Rock Party in the Poker Pit Poker Tournament.
Yay!
It is going to be quite the evening. It's going to be a celebration, if you will, for the bike's opening night celebration for their brand new hotel. Beer Mug's going to be there. All right, so it's not a celebration, but it's going to be a good time.
Oh, wait. No, you want to play with Beer Mug.
Dave the King of Mexico will be there. Now it is a celebration. Lightning, DJ Jeremiah Red will be spinning for an open night celebration for the brand spanking new hotel there at the bike. If you'd like to go, then why wouldn't you? Because you go, you get to play at Beer Mug's table. You know what your odds? You know how your odds drastically increase because you're playing Beer Mug? Plus, you get 2 racks of chips worth $200. You get dinner for 4 at the new bike brewery. It's all happening on December 1st at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. So why don't you call me right now? Be callers number 20 and 21. How about that? 20 and 21.
Fantastic.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, we won't get back to you. We'll just give you, we'll give two winners this K-Rock Party in the Poker Pit prize pack. You got to be 21 years of age or older to win, but it's going to be quite the event. You can go to thebite.com for more details and to get your own entry in case you don't win.
Yeah, good boy!
He does good work.
He's the best. Monday morning means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, as expected, came in at number 1 this weekend with $101 million. Disappointing people. Disappointing people because it earned less than $130 million. That's what was expected.
I don't think I'll ever understand that.
Yeah.
Expect less.
I guess so. Bond, Spectre, came in at $14.6 million. That was good enough to make it number 2.
Ah.
What?
I was expecting to make $18 million, so $14 million.
See? Disappointing. The Peanuts movie, $12.8 million, made it number 3. The Night Before debuted to $10 million. That made it number 4. Secret in Their Eyes was number 5. Love the Coopers, The Martian, Spotlight, The 33, and Bridge of Spies were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. A lot of music over the weekend, of course. We got the AMAs, where we got to hear Harrison Ford introduced Pentatonix singing instrumental songs a cappella with a full orchestra backing them.
Uh-huh.
That happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think J-Lo just said, I'm out. Forget this. Just walked off the stage after that. She was the host of the event last night.
I don't know, but I didn't get J-Lo opening up lip syncing to a medley of other people's hits either.
She's dancing, man. She was showing she could dance.
There's nothing about this show that was good.
You don't know, man. Then we got Foos. Foos dropped a new EP.
New Foos.
New Foos. Any Foos is good Foos.
Agreed.
But New Foos, the best Foos. Because there you are singing, oh, yeah, I love Foos so much, but I wish I had some new Foos.
Yep.
Boom. They dropped an EP called Saint Cecilia. It's available for download for free, by the way, on iTunes right now if you want to check it out. Here's one of the tracks, the titular track, if you will, of the EP, Saint Cecilia. Here's their song, Saint Cecilia. Bring me some healing, Saint Cecilia. Carry me home to your house. Broken bones. Yes! Please, more. Thank you.
I love that band.
And then Adele was on Saturday Night Live, and I'm not an Adele. I'm not a Saturday Night Live guy. But right. I am an Adele guy.
Yeah.
But even Adele couldn't make me watch Saturday Night Live this weekend. But still.
But you love, can watch the clips online.
I love Adele. And I did watch a clip online. Not only did I watch a clip online of her performing on Saturday Night Live, her brand new smash hit song, Hello. But they have isolated her vocal tracks. Because some people were maybe speculating that she might lip sync.
Well, if you sound too good, people insist you couldn't have performed it live.
So but she's not known for that, is she?
No.
No, not at all.
She's the real deal, Neil.
Yeah.
What they did was they isolated her vocal track to prove to the naysayers that it was for real. And this is unbelievable. The quality, the control that she has over her voice. She is an artiste, my friend. Here's a little isolated vocal track of the live performance of Hello from Saturday Night Live this weekend. I sure walked into that one, didn't I?
Hate you.
Yep. I gave you the big setup, and
is that wait?
And there is the, this is the payoff.
You get so excited to do it every time, Kevin.
Kevin thinks nothing's funnier than that.
For some reason, annoying Ralph really just makes me happy.
Do I look annoyed?
Well, not this time, but
that's because I'm still on cold medication.
All right, you want the real clip?
I would love it.
All right.
That's not the real clip either, Kevin. Hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000
times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. When I call, you never seem to be home. Yeah.
That's a live version of that song.
Yeah.
Standing there just on a stage and a microphone.
She's a force of nature.
She's ridiculous.
Allie cried during that clip.
I got a little misty.
During that 20-second clip.
She's amazing. She moves me.
Allie, how many times did you listen to the album over the weekend?
About six.
Just because when she hears that song, Allie imagines having someone made... that she could call and or would pick up a phone.
No, that's crazy.
She could actually miss.
She's just that's imagining nice. What it'd be like to have someone that would actually have had a phone conversation with her.
It's weird when you look at her cell phone and you look to see what numbers are in there. There aren't any.
She's never used that phone to make a call.
Just waiting for somebody to call so she can get something on there.
It's just all words with friends and Panda Pop.
And cat photos.
Oh, and Candy Crush.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Steve Harvey's 59 years old today. He's a TV host and a radio host. Currently in a big brouhaha with a private jet company over how they spruced up his plane. You know how that is. You know what that's like.
Sure.
Don't you hate those private jet companies who don't follow your direct orders when you tell them what kind of
sprucing
Burberry you want for your new private jet plane seat upholstery?
He's a handsome genius.
Thank you. Chris Hardwick, he's 44. We love Chris Hardwick around here. He talks dead, of course.
He does talk dead.
And he's also a Nerdist.
He's at Midnight.
He's got another show coming on soon. Some game show thing he's doing on one of the networks. God bless him.
Yep.
Snooki from the Real Housewives of the Beach. She was on a show doing something.
I think it was Real Housewives of the Beach. I think you got that one.
28 years old today, and singer Miley Cyrus is 23.
Oh,
I'm Ralph. Thank you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Carol. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Petros Papadakis talking about the weekend matchup with USC-UCLA. Comedian Russell Peters joins us in studio. John Stamos is on the program tomorrow talking about Grandfathered. And we have tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. We'll see you tomorrow.